tonight, June 23rd, 2013. A firmware update on PlayStation 3 bricks some consoles. Saints Row 4 will embrace modding. And could a Final Fantasy 12 remake be in the works?
Hello, everybody out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, episode number 509 for this June the 23rd of 2013. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as she has for the past 11 years, to the day, say hello to Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers. And that's how you feel about the past 11 years, all summed up, right?
No, I'm very happy about making 11 years. Yes. I just am on the tail end.
It just wouldn't be an episode of OLR if you
if I hadn't been sick all week.
Been sick all week, all right.
I have no idea what's up, but whatever this flu thing is can bite my ass. Actually, it bit my ass, and it probably...
That's the problem, is it bit your ass a little too hard.
Can stop.
All right. Also say hello. Also joining us every week for the past 11 years, probably a better attendance record than both myself and Dark Sagra.
Yeah.
Say hello to Loki.
Hi.
How are you doing, Techmaster Loki?
I'm doing all right.
I heard you took up a new programming language in the past couple
of
weeks.
I've just been learning C++.
Yeah?
And
you're programming in French.
And you know, it feels like it sometimes, I swear. It's like, I've been picking up pretty fast. I think I started like on Tuesday, maybe, or I think it was this week. Yeah, it was like on Tuesday, and I've already gone through most of this first book. I'm now in the object oriented stuff, and then they're gonna start, I think, I'm trying to think what's left. There's polymorphism, which I have no fucking clue what that means, and Windows programming, because right now it's all console window stuff, you know, DOS, if you will, and then very simple things. Although I've made a lot of gambling games, because that's a lot of the...
I was going to say, what's the goal with this? Are you trying to make an OLR dream game in a reality in a few
I'm just trying
years?
To learn how to program games, huh? Yeah. Well, mainly I want to work in Unity, and, you know, it's good to know.
I think it's healthy, because when you sit here and you bitch about games every week for the past 11 years, it's good for you to feel the pain about a little bit about what it goes in to make some games.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to have, like, some sort of a language. It just... to get the basics so that I can learn other languages if I want to learn like Java or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, you can take a lot of what you learn in one and apply it to others.
I find source code for games like fascinating. Just randomly today I was on the internet and I was looking up old Atari 2600 games, and there was one in particular that I remember from back in the day. Of course, now I'm going to forget the name. I think it was called Dragonfire. It was a game that had like two screens, and in one you were running across the castle bridge and you were trying to dodge fireballs, and you would get into the room with the dragon. You had to pick up all the chalices and everything in the room and get to the door. Hopefully somebody out there knows what I'm talking about, so I don't sound like I'm smoking crack. This is an Atari 2600 game. Uh-huh. My point is, the source code is out there for you to download and look at, and it's all commented, so you can see exactly what it went into making those games. And it's like, man, programming for the Atari 2600 was a bitch, because
it's all assembly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you had like no space. Those cartridges, what the beginning Atari 2600 cartridges were 4K. It's 4,000 characters.
Yeah, that's not a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that Pac-Man sucks so bad. But we'll leave that for another time, because there's too much in gaming this week.
Yeah.
To talk about Atari 2600. But I do want to introduce here in our studio, welcome back. It's been exactly 1 year since he was last at the show. Say hello, everybody, to JV Mon is here tonight.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. Just staring at these peanut butter brownies.
Yeah, we're having a hard time
hearing
you.
You should have another.
Pump up your audio a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, a little bit. You're still kind of quiet, but I think that's just the mic over there is a little weird.
It's the peanut butter brownies stealing my voice.
Yes, here in studio tonight we have peanut butter brownies, which were baked from Becky, right?
Yes, Becky says happy 11th, and she is going to a movie with her mother tonight.
Tell Becky that I love her and I hate her all at the same time.
I will. She's such a bitch.
I love her for these brownies. I hate her for these brownies.
I mostly love. I told her that it's basically her contribution for not being here is that she's going to basically make everybody fatties.
Well,
she made two pans, by the way, so she's got some herself.
It's also worth noting that JV Mom brought to the show a nice bottle of Silver Patron. Silver Patron for us to consume. So now I can combine worlds a little bit because you were telling me before the show you have yet to have a Fireball shot.
I've never had Fireball whiskey.
So we're going to take, I'm going to get Pod Culture's bottle that he sent us from the repository, and then we're going to have some drinks.
We're going to get drunk.
Yeah.
Girl, we going to drink.
We're going to drink. Quickly, we got to get into gaming news because there's huge news this week, and I want to turn it over to Jamie so we can get into that. Because the last few episodes of OLR, like, we don't have time to fuck around. There's too much.
We ain't got time for this shit.
Gaming news or gaming weeks, and what have we been playing? Nobody cares because we got a console war, and it's getting good. It's getting real good.
It's getting classic.
But quickly, JV Mon, since you're here, obviously I want you to comment throughout tonight's show, but you are an indie broadcaster as well, right? Off and on?
Off and on, when, you know, I actually get around to uploading my podcast.
Yeah? And what podcast is it that you do?
I do a mostly Eurobeat-based podcast called Super Euro Power Hour, which I don't think once in the history of the show I've actually had a show under an hour. It's more like Super Euro 3.5 Power Hour.
You are still really quiet, and I can't figure out why, and it's bothering me. So I apologize to the listeners that are like, he's too quiet. But
live radio.
Live radio. I got to adjust things on the fly. It wouldn't
it's
be
the acoustic absorption properties of the brownies.
It wouldn't be 11 years of Orange Lounge Radio if there weren't technical problems on the fly.
And people usually say, I'm too loud, and it's funny. It's like, they can't hear me.
Now, actually, now you're good. I think we fixed it. All right. I had to turn up the gain so they can probably hear me on your mic back here.
No.
But it works. All right. Okay, live listeners at live.vogradio.com, let us know if you're okay with the sound or if we need to change things on the fly. I'm sorry, did you give out the URL while I was adjusting your sound?
I did not.
Please do.
It's on. Just search on iTunes, Super Euro Power Hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been sitting on the latest episode on my hard drive for like the past month. It was like recorded like almost 2 months ago. Like, I'm an extreme procrastinator.
So, new episode coming soon.
Eventually.
Soon is the word we use in the gaming industry. Soon.
Soon. New episode coming soon. I mean, it's not like gaming where, like, you got to be first to get the news out there. It's just, like, it'll be out there when it's out there.
Since you haven't been here in a year, you were here for the 10th anniversary, which was a crazy night all in itself. So, mm-hmm. Now you're 11 years. That's just another week. No one care about 11 years. It's just another week. Quickly remind us, what's you as a gamer? What kind of video games do you play? What do you like? What systems do you own?
I own most of them. I, if it comes out, I'll probably buy it. I don't have a Vita anymore because I dropped it in a puddle, and that's probably the saddest day in my life.
That's wow, son. Wow.
Yeah, like not even a year and it falls in a puddle, and that's probably like the slowest 10 seconds of my life, just watching it go in a puddle, submerge, watching it power off.
Did it have that whole like, what you say? Did you have a dear sister moment with that?
Pretty much. Like, I was like, no. But yeah. And I'm considering either trying to fix it or buying a new Vita because I'm a consumer whore and I want my game systems.
Favorite video game of all time?
Ooh, Super Mario RPG.
And why is that?
I just love the story and the gameplay. And that final boss battle as a kid, I just remember renting it from Blockbuster, the cartridge, because my mom was like, you ain't getting a new game. So I was like, fine, Blockbuster. So we would rent it like every week, and I would play it during the weekends instead of doing my homework, which, you know, wasn't a very responsible thing to do, but hey, I was a kid.
Quickly, I think the listeners would enjoy this if you're willing to tell it. You ran out to, you're visiting here from New York City. You're visiting family in San Francisco. OLR Studios is only a 2-hour drive from San Francisco, which, by the way, we appreciate you taking the drive here. But while you're driving here, it took you about 4 hours to get here. Why?
Because even though my Wii U's on the East Coast, I had this compulsion to buy Game & Wario.
Which isn't even getting good reviews. So that tells me you're a little bit of a Nintendo fanboy. That's okay.
I do enjoy my Nintendo games, but I think it's just more, I need something new to play on my Wii U. And it's like, my God, a new game out on the Wii U. That's Stars fair. Alive.
That's fair. All right. One more time, the Vita story. What happened when you dropped it? Or what happened?
I was getting out of my car. I closed my car door. I left that part out. My Vita just bloop, flew out of my pocket into a puddle.
What you say? Oh.
It's like it's happening all over again.
Well, 'cause you did. What you say?
As it falls through the water, it just powers down slowly. Longest 10 seconds of my life.
It's like the end of Terminator 2. It just like sticks its thumb out and slowly sinking down to the molten metal.
There is no fate but what we make.
All right. Love it. Love it. Tiger Claw in chat is asking, is that superhero power hour? No, that's super Euro power hour. Euro, like Euro beat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Pala Pala.
All right. Okay, we got to get into the news. JV Mom, please, as the show is going on tonight, feel free to comment on your thoughts on what's
sure
going
thing.
On. And I'm sure everybody's got something to say about this hot topic, Dark Sakura. Take it away tonight.
In the most professional language I can say, Microsoft done flipped a bitch. Yeah. Basically, they put out a big announcement that said, okay, we're not doing all that other stuff. We're doing this instead. So basically, they're not requiring the internet connection to play offline Xbox One games, X-Boner, Xbox 180, the joke that everybody has been saying. Basically, you can trade in your games, resell, gift, rent discs, blah, blah, sit on it, take a crap on it. They don't care. You can do all of it. It's going to be physical discs. So it was sort of like, oh, all that? Oh, we weren't serious. Never mind. Click. So, yeah, complete reversal.
I have to admit, I was wrong. Well, I wasn't wrong, but I was mostly incorrect last week because I said there is no way Microsoft would reverse course that fast. I said it will take a miracle for Microsoft to win the holiday season at this point, and within 3 days, they parted the Red Sea.
Well, they rode in on a white horse, like in History of the World.
You know, within
miracle.
Within seconds of those planes getting back to Seattle, Don Matrick is like, boardroom, now.
Listen.
Right now, get in that boardroom.
As Don Metric said, your feedback matters. Investors that have stock in our company. Oh, consumers. Oh, fuck them. But yeah, you guys want us to, you know, make it so that more people buy our console. So yeah, I guess we better flip this. Still, one thing that's really confusing about the whole thing is that, you know, it does require a day one patch to enable this like offline mode. Which begs the question, these consoles aren't even fucking being manufactured yet. Why the hell do I need a day one patch?
No system comes out without a day one patch.
Because I'm going to give Microsoft the benefit of the doubt here. I think they were so committed to their vision that they had already coded the firmware. Because, you know, firmware don't write itself. You know coding now. Firmware don't write itself. Somebody's going to have to write this new firmware, and it's just not going to be done by the time these consoles press.
Okay.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
All right. I'll play that. Then it needs to be on the disc like it is with, you know, games where they have the firmware update on the disc. That way, you know, just saving you guys some trouble there, Microsoft. That way you don't have a situation where, oh, shit, I don't have internet. I can't fucking play anything because I can't do my day one patch.
Although, granted, they're probably data is free. Disc costs money, even if it's a penny a disc. They have to manufacture how many discs?
No, I'm not talking about manufacturing discs. I'm talking about putting it on their game discs, like they're doing,
yeah,
with the current gen stuff. That
or
way,
you used to be able to download.
Issue.
You used to be able to download.
Yeah, I can understand
own.
You can download and burn your own stuff, but once again, that requires that you have internet. So I'm just saying that you put it on the game disc since those discs have not been pressed yet. And there you go. Problem solved. Since obviously you're going to have to connect to the internet to, or you're going to have to want to play a game before you can figure out that you can't play a game without that update. So putting the disc in the drive should solve the problem. If they were smart, although they flip-flopped on levels of intelligence. So it's hard to say.
I don't know. When you talk like that, it still sounds like the whole "let's kick Microsoft while they're down" mentality.
All right, fine. Connect is still connected.
Now we can have a real conversation. Yes, Connect is still connected, but
and it's $100 more.
We'll get into that later in the show. As far as the 180 on the DRM is concerned, is this a victory or is this a defeat? Because I saw a lot of very interesting chatter on Twitter and Facebook as soon as this was announced. There was a lot of people that were like, yay. And I was probably one of those people. I was like, my biggest problem, my number one problem with the Xbox One was that if I buy a game, I don't have the right to sell it back on my own terms. I have to follow Microsoft's pre-designated terms. I didn't really care about the 24-hour thing. The DRM thing didn't bug me nearly as much as that component did. So the fact that that's not a factor now makes me feel like, okay, I can support Xbox One. I'm good with that. But there was a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook very hurt about, well, because we're now taking this out, we're going to have to take the quote-unquote cool features out with it. And the one thing I kept hearing over and over again was family sharing, which to me, I'm like, I what does that mean? Because some people honestly have it in their heads, I think, based on the tweets I saw, that family sharing was going to allow you to buy a game and share it with 10 people unconditionally. And if that is really the way you were thinking, then can I have some of the glue that you're huffing to glue your screws back in? Because I'm sorry, that is not a win situation.
There's
for
no
the publisher
way,
or for Microsoft,
remember,
for anybody.
They're in the business to make money. They're going to, if they're getting rid of used games because they're saying, oh, you know what, used games are really hurting the new game sales, they're not going to put this thing, okay, we're going to get rid of used games, but we're going to, you know, have this method where you can buy one game and, you know, you can have two people play at the same time. Nope, that is not going to happen without some sort of restrictions.
Ravens Dolphin in chat says, I don't think family sharing was not going to be that great. I heard it was going to be like a 1-hour demo. Yeah, I saw that story floating around the internet, too.
Anonymous Pastebin.
We don't know. We don't know what it was supposed to be. So why are people getting so upset about something we didn't know about that we lost?
It's sort of like people talking up the fantasy of what they want it to be. And, mm-hmm. you know, how rumors spread. And it's like a giant game of telephone. And they get so excited about what they think that this final thing is going to be without having anything to back it up. So it's like getting excited about the Tooth Fairy bringing you a quarter.
I guess people just feel that there's such a loss of potential innovation, even though they don't know what exactly it was. It's like, what was it? I don't know, but it could have been something great. It could have been something really terrible.
I can see the whole, we want to look forward and not backward. I can kind of follow that to an extent. But therein is the real problem with this whole thing, because Microsoft was so good at communicating the negative and so crappy at communicating the positive. That's why they lost this battle.
Well, and then on top of that, the whole issue with Kinect having to still be connected to the console, and I understand why they're doing it, so that, you know, it can be assumed that any developer out there that's making a game can develop a game that uses a Kinect, because the Kinect's going to be there, blah, blah, blah. My thing is, though, why don't they just have it where they assume that it's going to be there, and then you don't have to have it connected and you don't have to use it? Because obviously a lot of those games that they actually, all of those games that they showed during their press conference didn't use Kinect, or it was an optional thing. So if this is so integral into, you know, their console, why am I not seeing how it's being used? That's revolutionary. You know, aside from grenade, reload, well, grenade.
To be fair, because most of that revolutionary stuff has nothing to do with the games. If you want to see where they were showing that off, go back to their earlier press conference at the end of May, when they showed the calling people during the TV shows, and the fact that everybody has one of those brings people connected. I'm not saying that's a smart decision, but I'm saying that is the decision. And for me, it's not a deal breaker. But anyway, I want to read some of these other comments in chat. We got Koopa Kid Jeremy says, some of those cool features could still be implemented. Like, why not give the option to gold subscribers? That's kind of where my head's at. Is my mindset is, okay, so you lost the battle with the disc-based games. Fine. Disc-based games, the way you know it and love it today, right? Why not have that be the market? Digitally-based games? Why can't you just have two license types depending on how you bought the game? I mean, I don't see a lot of advantage to buying games digitally today outside of, all right, well, I get what, 5-10% back on the Wii U, right, when I have the Deluxe program?
10% off on PlayStation Network.
Yeah, you get some of those deals. Okay, so financial incentive, that's good.
Yeah.
But what if some of the pluses were, okay, when you buy a game digitally, you can instantly send it to JVMon in New York City, without having to mail the disc to him, I could just instantly give him the license. That is kind of cool. Why can't I still have that for a digital game? I'm not really hearing the, why that has to be taken away. I mean, yes, Xbox and Microsoft has to go back to square one to reinvent some of this stuff, but
because there's a lot of, unfortunately, the thing is there's a lot of people that have to give approval to that. You have to get the approval from the publishers. You have to get approval from, you know, they have to create the infrastructure for it and stuff. And it's just, I don't think there's a lot of incentive for them to do that. Whereas, you know, you could do all sorts of crazy stuff on PC and, you know, you get better pricing with Steam and stuff. Just because there are multiple places that you can buy Steam, you know, licenses and stuff, and they're all competing with each other for, you know, the lowest prices. Or you can get DRM free or whatever, you know. Desura, I mean, there's a lot of options available, whereas that's why I always bugged me when people were like, well, you know, when they get rid of the used games, it's going to drive the price of games down. I'm like, no, it's not going to fucking drive the games down, because what they've done now is they've even limited the marketplace so much more that you can only, you know, return your games at certain retailers. So basically these retailers are going to have an advantage. And are they really going to be, you know, wanting to drop the price of their game considering, you know, or the game that they're selling? Because, you know, you're going to be more likely to go there anyway. So why bother trying to compete when they're kind of limiting the competition?
I am very curious about where people's heads are at after all this DRM stuff, because for me, I had the whole discussion last week about I'm out, I'm not having this. But now that this is mentioned that they're going to remove this, I'm probably going to get an Xbox One. I'm not going to get one this holiday season because that's too much. Like, just financially, I can't afford it. But next year, especially when more of these exclusives are out, by the time Halo 5's out, I'll get one. I think I'll get an Xbox One now that the DRM thing's worked out. But that's me. And I'm really curious about you guys. So I want to use this as an excuse to go to a live poll. So if you go to live.vognetwork.com, there's a poll up right now. How do you feel about an Xbox One post-180? Obviously, how do you feel about it after the flip? Four answers. I was going to buy one, and I still am. I was going to buy one, but now I'm not. Maybe, I don't know. I wasn't going to buy one before, but now I am. And then I'm still not buying it. What's your thoughts on Xbox One right now? Live.vognetwork.com if you're a registered VOG Network participant. We'll read the answers here momentarily. Jamie, I was going to ask where your head's at with this. You read us the story, but you didn't tell me where your head's at after it.
I still don't care enough about the Xbox One to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Dan and I were pretty much already decided on a PS4 because it's an upgraded Blu-ray player.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, our PS3 is a release model. So it's been surviving for a very, very long time. And we don't know when it's going to go. So yeah, we had already decided on a PS4. And I think that this is too little too late. There's still a lot of unknowns. They haven't clarified anything. And I don't really care about the Kinect. I really don't. I don't really care about Move. You know, so, but at least I have an option of not having to buy Move, you know. I would rather just not deal with it.
All right. We'll read the answers momentarily. The Xbox One exclusives were good enough for me that I'm very interested in checking it out. And still, as we learned this week, a lot can change still between now and the day this thing launches. Now, I'm not saying they're necessarily going to go back on the Kinect policy and all that, but, you know, there's still, it is not without reason that Microsoft couldn't say, we're going to do the subsidized console. We're going to put out our console for $299 with the 2-year gold subscription. I mean, there's still more ammo that Microsoft could throw at this thing that, you know, I don't know if we've seen the last of this just yet, but we'll see. Any other comments on the Xbox DRM reversal situation? Anybody? All right.
The whole removal of features, it seems like it was like, fine, you want it this way. We're just going to take our ball of special features and go home with it. It seemed like kind of like a dick move that they probably could have just kept in there.
Yeah, but
it
was what like, was the ball? What was it?
It was the potential.
Now we're
that's
not
what going to
tell you.
Me.
What's
it,
the
I
ball?
Have the same
it's
impression.
Like, it was like, I brought you a present, but now that you don't want to do things my way, you're never going to find out what the present was.
I did like how they fed into that's like the whole like, you know, oh, you guys, we heard your feedback, and we're doing what's good for you. Yes, I'm glad you're concerned about what's good for me now, 3 days later, okay, after your consoles sucked.
As funny as this conversation all is, though, for real, everybody was fucking pissed about it. Sony got a standing ovation when they got they got to even interject negatives. Sony got away with saying, we're going to charge you to play multiplayer. The number one reason our fanboys love us more, well, maybe not the number one, but one of the big things fanboys love to hold over Microsoft fanboys' heads is that you can play multiplayer free. We are going to start charging for that, and nobody cares. We're getting standing ovations because we went against Microsoft's policies. And now that Microsoft switched those policies to be the same thing, I still feel like a lot of people are like, eh, fuck them.
It doesn't matter.
But they're still charging less, and Home still offered some more fun than Gold did.
Well, the perception is, too, that, you know, you have Sony, who did the right thing the first time. Now, whether they changed the decision last minute, who knows? But, okay, so the perception is that they made the right choice the first time. And then you have Microsoft that made the wrong choice in everybody's eyes and then kind of recanted on that because they value what the consumer wants. So, I mean, the problem that I have there is either A, they didn't value what the consumer wants and they were going to do their own damn thing, or B, they really didn't know what the consumer wanted and now they do all of a sudden? I mean, are they really out of touch or they just don't give a shit? So I can't really, I don't know. I don't really want to get an Xbox One right now. And the reason, and I love the controller and it looks like fun, but I just can't support that kind of thing. And I'm sorry that, you know, okay, so you went back on it. You know, that's kind of like if I called Jamie a giant bitch and then said, sorry, just kidding, I didn't really mean that. It's still hurtful in the beginning.
I do that every day.
I'm just saying, you know,
yeah, but
like,
I call you a bigger bitch, so what's up?
That's fact.
So I'm just saying, like, are we supposed to all of a sudden forget, you know, the bad choices that they made just because they went ahead and fixed some of it? You know, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to.
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, but to be fair, Loki, I got to play devil's advocate with you on that because, to be fair, Sony's made their own share of bad decisions.
That's true.
So why are we so quick to loyally throw ourselves upon Sony? Like, fuck me now, Sony. You're so wonderful. So you give me everything my heart desires.
What bad decisions are we talking about here?
Well, for one, you're about to read a story later in the show that strikes me as a pretty bad decision to release a firmware when it's clearly not ready. But that's one. The whole fact that the network got hacked and they had to shut down the system for however long they did because of it.
Okay. And then they appeased everybody and they also gave away free games, as opposed to Microsoft, who said, hack? We didn't get fucking hacked. Your money just disappeared by ghosts. Ghosts stole it. You know, I mean, like, they didn't even fucking, you know, admit that they've been hacked, even though it's been proven over and over and over again that they have been hacked. And then they all of a sudden, oh yeah, we're gonna go ahead and increase our authentication for like stuff, make it a little harder to log in, you know, with more security because we're valuing the consumer. We want to make sure that you're protected, and not because we got hacked and your money got stolen and we didn't do shit about it for over a year.
I just recalled some other bad decisions that Sony has made in the past. Are you ready? Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kaz Harai.
Ridge Racer. The essence of the PlayStation DNA is real change, and the consumers are ready.
Genji 2 is an action game, which is based on Japanese history.
Ridge Racer.
Being based on history, the stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Ridge Racer!
And you
best part's coming up.
Its weak point for massive damage.
It's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer! PlayStation 3 will retail for $599 US, $599 US, $599 US.
Yep.
Giant enemy crab.
Those were all bad ideas.
Okay, bad ideas that didn't affect the consumer really in any way.
$599 US.
Then don't pay $599 US. It came down in price. Did they launch their new system at $599 US?
For the record,
no, it was not. It was at $399. And Microsoft is now launching at $499. You'd think that they would learn the lesson. But my thing is, though, that, like, even look at, like, PlayStation Plus. PlayStation Plus is $10 less a year, and you get free games with that.
You get them on Xbox now.
But
only until the launch.
We did buy the most expensive release of it because, well, Dan managed GameStop. We had the in. But when we had the money for it, we put it down. We wanted what they had to offer.
The backwards compatibility.
It will definitely give our collection.
Fully backwards compatible at launch with Wi-Fi built in on one system, one version of it. But, okay. But still, though, they paid for that with the poor sales and stuff. So I think that they've made up for the fact that, you know, they basically don't want to repeat their mistakes. However, I just don't see a lot of, like, you know, I don't see any decisions that they've made that have really affected the consumer poorly, like, you know, oh, hey, we're going to have this really weird DRM. Okay, online passes, they did that. First-party online passes, which is a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. So I guess that's a fault there. They're not doing it anymore. So they've corrected that mistake. So I think they've taken all the, like, kind of negatives about their console and kind of corrected their mistakes and trying to go kind of a fresh start for their new thing. Whereas Microsoft said, hey, you know, we had a pretty good ride. Let's just see what we can do to, I don't know, make our ride go faster. And they started ripping parts out of the car. And then just somehow it's going to work better because they don't know what they're doing.
All right. Well, this debate is going to be continuing for the next several months. All I can say is, like, now we've got ourselves a console war, like, for real. Like, I don't remember one, and I think I even said this last week before the reversal, I don't remember a console war this good since the 90s and full page magazine ads that's like, our system does what this one doesn't. You know, like, this is popcorn.gif. And yes, I said GIF. Deal with it. All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Bobby says, Microsoft made mistakes but corrected them, but fuck them. No, they're still making mistakes right now, and it's a little different saying...
You paraphrased the quote, but that's okay.
Whatever. Okay, his exact quote was, Sony made mistakes but corrected them, so they're awesome. Microsoft made mistakes but corrected them, but fuck them. There's still a lot...
Attributing it to you.
There's still a lot... Yes, saying that came from me. So there's still a lot, though, that they still have to fix that, you know, needs to be taken care of. Price point, Kinect always required. And basically just, I don't know. I just don't like the way that they're kind of looking at the consumers right now. It is very much like Sony was back at the launch of the PS3, where it's like, you're our consumers and not our customers. So I think I would... expected, though, that Microsoft, being a company of their size, would kind of look at, here's what didn't work for the other guy, so maybe we shouldn't try doing that too, instead of, it didn't work for them, but we're better, so we're going to make it work for us. And that's my thing.
All right. Let's get to the results of the live poll, because I shut this off like a minute ago and haven't read the results. Okay, here are the results of the live poll. How do you feel about an Xbox One post their 180? I'm surprised at these results. Here we go. Number one answer with 53.57%. I'm still not buying it. 0%, not a single vote for I was going to buy one, but now I'm not. That doesn't surprise me much, but that does tell me that even for the fans, the whole family share and all that, that wasn't the deal maker. There's upsetness over that, but it's not a done deal now that that's out of the picture. That doesn't surprise me, but zero answers for that. Here's how the rest of it breaks down. 32.14% for I was going to buy one anyway and still am. So a third of the listeners buying an Xbox One, that's not too shabby. And then 14.29% where my head's at, I wasn't going to buy one before, but now I am. So I guess I am the 14.29%.
Well, I still want a PlayStation 4 just because I don't have to – mainly because play both at my work and at home, and I don't want to have to lug the system and a Kinect with me every time I'm going back and forth. That's that reason, and it's $100 cheaper. Also, all the first – and this applies for both Sony and Microsoft – all their first-party exclusive titles aside from, you know, the very like two or three at launch – all of the ones that I really wanted to play aren't coming out until, like, sometime next year. So I'm like, I don't really feel the need to, like, buy an Xbox One now for Sunset Overdrive, which, hey, by the time we get to next year, who knows how many of those titles are going to be delayed beyond next year. So Last of Us, or not Last of Us, The Last Guardian, anybody? I mean, so, I don't know.
To be fair, again, Loki, Sony, same problems could be there. But I mean,
I said it applies to both.
I am in the PlayStation 4 camp, and that's probably mostly for third-party games. But, yeah. All right. Anyway, we got to move on. Thank you. Great discussion in chat. I haven't been able to read all the comments, but I've been kind of watching. So I just want to shout out live.vognetwork.com. And if you haven't been here for a live show, you're missing out because some great, like, fourth host commentary going on in the chat.
I do want to say one thing, though, and this does apply. This ties back to the PlayStation 3 launch. Where the fuck is a new Ridge Racer game? Because seriously, there is how many consoles have launched recently and not one single fucking Ridge Racer game? That is the launch game.
I kind of think that between what I just played there and the Vita game, I think Ridge Racer may not kind of... Like, it may actually be viewed as a bit of a negative right now. It may be not a game people want.
Because they have Bugbear doing it. And Bugbear is pretty awesome. They did that.
Microsoft's got Forza. Sony's got this Drive Club. You know, it's...
They have a free-to-play Ridge Racer game that's coming.
That was the Vita.
No, the Vita one was buy-to-play or buy-to-get four tracks. Yeah, but they do have a free-to-play one by Bugbear that's going to be a PC game. But maybe they'll... come to consoles as well.
Jamie, I'm looking at some of these comments in chat. I didn't catch this whole thing, but I noticed Clear Calera 404 talking about the Intellivision was technologically superior to the Atari. You guys are kicking it old school in chat right now.
What that got started on is, you know, all of the comparisons about comparing it to a console war, but saying that these two are technologically similar to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're going over the console war between the Genesis and the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Super Nintendo technically was the technologically superior system.
Right.
And the games did cost more because they were cost more to manufacture, but they were in a stat to stat comparison technologically superior. Then we went back to Intellivision versus Atari, and I had a ColecoVision, which kicked all of them.
Think about the 80s, though, man. You think, how many consoles do we have right now? Like, maybe four. You have your Xbox Ones, your PlayStation 4s, your Wii U, and then the Android boxes. I'm going to lump all those in one category. The reason why I bring that up is that you go back to the 80s, oh my God, it was consoles and family computers all battling each other.
Let's start with the 70s. We had the first Odyssey, the Fairchild Channel F.
Mm-hmm.
There was the...
I'm just thinking about those magazine ads
you
used to see, where you would see the screenshots. Like a Frogger would show you a screenshot from the Atari computer, Atari 2600, Commodore 64, TRS-80, Coleco, Intellivision, Apple. There was a lot of fucking console, I guess they weren't really consoles,
but... We didn't run into the exclusive thing so much.
Gaming devices.
It was we need to get this shit out there.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, though, I like, as far as I can think of it, there started to be that divergence between PC and console gaming, but everything always went into a big bottleneck of popularity. While you might have had other systems out, you know, things eventually slid back into the 8-bit era where it was the Master System versus the... NES, and the NES really stomped Sega with that. But then you had Genesis versus SNES, and then you had
versus TurboGrafx. Can't like
that's
leave
what
in.
I was saying is that you had NEC come in and put out their own system, PC Engine in Japan, which did a lot better over there than it did here. And then it just basically goes into this bottleneck. You'll see other systems start to come around, but now we're in this sort of... It's like three is the sweet number for consoles out. 2 to 3 systems. It has to be that major competition. And now we've got the Ouya sitting there. We've got phone gaming. We have mobile gaming. But really, you're getting into the big three. It bottlenecks. And it's like big loops the way that the console thing goes. And now we've got a full-blown war again.
It's all just a big mess.
Drama.
All right. Fun debate, but we're almost to 7 o'clock here on the West Coast, so I want to get into how was your gaming week so we can get into some news. Ladies first, Stark Soccer, how was your gaming week, and what type of video games have you been playing this
Final
week?
Final Fantasy 14. It's pretty. It's pretty. Oh, my God. I have mine set to, uber graphic everything, and I have absolutely zero draw-in. It's amazing, and the duties are hard. They're fucking hard. I have a level 13 Thaumaturge, and I just made it. Okay, I made a Marauder because I wanted to see what the pirate stuff looked like. And I named her Friska because she's blue. Well, not blue. She's gray. anyway. So I've been playing that. I've been playing I played some more Mass Effect 3 because I got all that high-res stuff working. And I actually have, like, a mostly high-res Normandy interior now. So I'm going to put that in. I was basically just making sure all my mods worked. But everything that has worked has been absolutely gorgeous. And then I'm still playing through the first Mass Effect, which I'm also playing in a higher resolution because I've patched that one too. Thank you, TextMod. I'm trying to go through... I did not say duty, bite me. Chat room. I've been looking through my other list of games, but to be perfectly honest, I have had zero energy all week because I've just had this flu that's kicked my ass. And... unfortunately, I've been... I'm not saying unfortunately because sleep is awesome. I've been doing a lot of sleeping. I'm playing Sleep the Game.
Achievement unlocked.
Achievement unlocked. You slept for 24 hours. Yes, I did.
All right, let me move on to our guest next. I'm sorry.
You all are a bunch of five-year-olds.
You're done, right? Oh, everybody in chat. All right, let me go to JV Montclair.
What did the hero do in the bathroom? He did his duty.
JV Mon, how was your gaming week?
It was pretty good. I mean, all I have with me is my 3DS, so that's kind of all I've been playing. I've been playing mostly just Kingdom Hearts, Dream Drop Distance.
You told me before the show you've never played an Animal Crossing game.
That is true. I've never played an
the
Animal
Crossing. The fuck is wrong with you? No, I'm kidding.
It's like the Furry Sims.
This is not the Furry Sims. Maybe a little bit.
It really isn't the Furry Sims.
I don't know. I never was given the game when it came out on GameCube, so I didn't really care when it came out on DS or Wii. So I kind of just don't care now. Everybody's like, oh my God, Animal Crossing. And I was like, okay.
Haters gonna hate.
I'm not hating. I just it's not fine. Hate when you don't care.
All right, fine. You would rather get... Apathy Crossing.
Sure, Apathy Crossing.
With the little penguin that just says dot, dot, dot.
No, if you're going by the Japanese version, Animal Forest, it would be like Animal Suicide Forest.
Ah, that's morbid. I mean,
I'm not against the concept of me playing Animal Crossing. It's just not. I'm not going to be the one to go out and buy it for myself. If somebody wants to give me Animal Crossing, I'll play it.
Oh, you're being a Jamie right now. Like, I'm not gonna buy Minecraft with my own money, but if someone wants to get it for me...
Totally.
I might fall in love with it.
But I've also been playing Earthbound on emulator, Android emulator, and I think that's Plants vs. Zombies. My best friend got me Plants vs. Zombies, and... My free time. Oh, God, what has happened to my free time?
Looking at some comments in chat at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt, I haven't played an Animal Crossing game before. It must be a New York thing because you guys don't know what a forest is. It must be something like that. Koopa Kid Janko says, I'm trying to watch the chat, listen to the show, and hunt beetles in Animal Crossing at the same time. Media overload. At least those are all awesome things to be doing. And Brad from Pod Culture says, I never played one either. Tell this new one. Welcome to Crack Forest.
Oh, no. The first thing I'm going to do is save up a million bells and buy a crown so I can be the queen of my village.
I was excited because I finally got to replace a villager saying. That's my favorite thing to do is to get them to say new things. So in honor of Alan, my little Bree the Bunny now says LOL butts after everything.
You had a character in my GameCube one saying bitch face. Remember?
Maybe. I may have.
And then
that.
You stole my lesbian.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so mad.
I do that.
You
all
stole
right.
My lesbian.
Anything else, Jamie?
No, I think that's about it.
Loki.
I just played Final Fantasy 14 yesterday, pretty much. And it's all right. I played it on the PlayStation 3. So the graphics are okay. I don't know if they're going to be that great compared to the PC, though. Obviously not. But it was fun. I am a level 8 black mage because I'm not going to fucking refer to the classes that have been in the goddamn franchise for how many years now, and we're all of a sudden going to flip them on?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. There are black mages, like called a black mage in Final Fantasy 14.
It's BLM.
Yeah, you don't see.
Thaumaturge is different.
Yeah, you don't see them yet because they had to rear end that into the game. They had to like back park that into the game because, yes, the original creators of 14 were smoking crack and made up all these new classes like Thaumaturge, Gladiator, and all this stuff that wasn't very Final Fantasy 14. But when the fans bitched and moaned and complained, now the Black Mage and White Mage, they're there, but they're advanced classes. So at least in old 14, I think when you got like a Thaumaturge to 20 and a Conjurer to 10, you could become a Black Mage. I might be screwing up those numbers, but like those jobs do exist later. They're just considered the advanced jobs. So to be fair, Loki, amongst your anger.
As I said, level 8 Black Mage, and and basically I am spamming Blizzard to win, and that's, you know, kind of how it goes, and I have Thunder now, and I guess Thunder is like DPS or something. And yeah. And I let my son play the game for a while, so there was a good portion where he was running into a wall and jumping in a fountain, because, you know. And I had video of that, but my wife doesn't want me to post it on the internet because she's in it. And she doesn't like being in any of the videos.
We may have to explain the lesbian, Rob.
All right, please, go ahead.
Wasn't she like a duck or something?
No, she was an aardvark.
She wasn't an aardvark.
I thought she was. She had the big blue nose. Didn't she?
She was... I don't think she was an aardvark. I think she was a duck.
Whatever, but anyway, was totally a gym teacher.
But she was, okay, yeah, you go into her house. She's wearing sweat. And everything is like... What are those horses things that you jump over and gym equipment and everything? Her room was a gym, so we put...
And her house was playing KK Lilith Fair.
Yeah, it was playing some music or the other that sounded really, you know, very SJW now, I guess. But so we put a rainbow sign outside her house, and we like had her say something that was like super gay, I don't know, because we were just being really awful because she was so stereotypical.
Yeah,
and we just called her our lesbian.
Admittedly, these were horrible stereotypes, but you know, all in, if you can't poke fun at each other, what can you do?
Exactly. So, and I mean, I everyone I ever showed this character to said, well, is she a lesbian? So she ended up being the town lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Apparently she's the only one. She couldn't get a date. I mean, if someone had moved into the house with her, then we would have known.
Yeah, right.
Bad stereotypes, I know. Okay. So anyway, so Rob stole her. Rob stole my lesbian, but I got her back.
I did want to mention one last thing, because I am taking that C++ course, and it is game-related stuff. So one of the later, when I get into the whole racing engine making thing tutorial, there's an example game done by the guy that teaches the course. He sings the theme song for it, and it's fucking fantastic.
Really?
The guy's awesome, actually, because he's like this, like, I don't know if he's, like, British. He kind of looks British, but...
How do you look British?
How do you look British? Right, sounds British.
He's extra.
He looks like the guy, and this is... I hate...
Welcome to Stereotype Lounge Radio.
He walks in with some crumpets.
He sounds British, and kind of... Okay, so...
Does he like his beans on toast?
He sounds British, but... Okay, so the guy...
Did you just order a fucking crumpet? Get out of here, you dirty Brit.
And I hate even referring back
to
this, but only because I had to watch the whole series of this damn show. He looks like the husband on Medium, okay?
Are you the doctor?
Do you have to take a lift to get up to the classroom?
Do you walk on the pavement? Are you the doctor?
It's like I totally forgot what Loki was trying to really say.
But it's awesome.
Look at my face. I ain't bothered.
All right. Moving on. My turn. So games that I've been playing this week. I've also been playing the Final Fantasy 14 beta. And let me tell you, y'all, it's really good. I love it. And I was trying to spend some time thinking about why do I love this game so much? Because I liked 11 too. I liked 11 an awful lot. I played it for 3 years. But 11 felt like a PC MMO that they kind of, and I'm going to use that analogy, backparked again into a PlayStation 2. I realize 11 was a very PlayStation 2, or it was a very very heavily played on PlayStation 2 in Japan, but it really always felt like a PC game.
One thing real quick I was going to mention about the on console, because I don't know if you guys are playing with PC controllers or whatever, your keyboard, mouse, and stuff, but the macro system that they have now with the shoulder buttons and stuff is fucking awesome on the console. So just mentioning that.
Well, but I was going to say, Final Fantasy XIV plays like a console game on the PC. This truly feels like I'm playing like a console Final Fantasy game where there just happens to be other people running around and we can go do dungeons together if we want, and we can do the guild quest things if we want. We can do all that. Or I could just play it myself and enjoy the story. And like, I really think this new producer kind of gets it. And you see it in the last letter that he put out there. Is like,
that was long.
If you really read it,
yeah,
he's really trying to talk about, there's a lot of people out there that are afraid to play MMOs because they're like, ooh, other people. So we wanted to create a story that would work without other people, but we weren't necessarily going to make it easy. And I thought that was a great way to approach it. And that's how the game really feels to me.
Well, and there was the comment about you get caught up in the story of each town? And I really like that each town has its own sort of politics around that area. Instead of, can you go take this letter to Ironforge? Yeah, the dwarves are doing this, but we live in Stormwind. Fuck them. And basically, you don't have to do the big town hopping thing. You work in your community around your town. And then when you've exhausted your area around your town, then it's logical to move on. And so just going, I'm just going to level over here now.
It's the one thing that's really interesting to me. This game has potential to be a huge hit. And I'm not going to say WoW killer, because I really think there's room at the table for more than one online game. There's lots of online games people play. I think Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn has the potential to be a huge game, which is interesting because it's not the first time they've released the game, which is a whole nother story. The problem is going to be that subscription fee and convincing people that, yes, to run around and play a solo game, I'm going to pay $15 a month.
I'm convinced.
I'm convinced too, but there's going to be a lot of people that aren't.
I'm not, and this the reason why is because there's other MMOs out there that I've played that just are that one time. What new content are they really adding on a regular basis other than server upkeep? It's just there's other games that you can buy at once and play it. I can't dedicate enough time every month to playing this game when I'm playing like a ton of stuff to justify paying a monthly subscription.
I'm very curious to see what Endgame looks like, because that's going to be the make or break for this game, is convincing people once they've beat the single player campaign to keep paying for this game. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see. I love it. We'll see.
I did have to say, in looking at, and again, I didn't try it on PS3. I didn't want to bother with it because I can't use the controller anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I did look at video comparisons, and to be honest, I think that the PS3 version suffers in the visual department.
I have a really important question for everybody. Can somebody please explain to me why this bottle of Patron is still sealed?
I need to be having a shot of that if I'm going to drive home.
Right?
Later.
I'm like, why is this thing not open yet? Anyway, I'll work on that.
I'm curious to see what the PS4 version is going to look like.
Me too. I have one other game I got to talk about real quick, because everybody's been talking about Final Fantasy XIV, but I do have one other game that's important for me to get out there. Super Mario Brothers U had the DLC come out for Super Luigi. What's it called? Super Luigi Brothers U or something?
New,
I don't know.
It's a new Super Luigi U.
Whatever it's called, y'all know what it is. It's the game with Luigi. It really threw me at first, because I'm like, Nintendo DLC, this is so weird. Like, I know they had the levels on the 3DS one, but to do it on a console, I was like, this is so weird. But here it is, you guys. It's the exact same map, but all the stages in the map have been redone when you play as Luigi. And it's really cute because they threw in some allusions to Luigi. Like, there's Luigi shapes in the in the dirt that you see, like little Luigi fossils or something. You see little statues of Luigi made out of the bush, and they're not all obvious. Like, some of them are kind of very subtle, so I really kind of like that they threw all those nods to Luigi in there. But anyway, every level is redone, and you only have 100 seconds to clear each level. So, honestly, Super Luigi U is like a really good ROM hack that Nintendo endorses. That's not a bad thing. I think it's pretty cool. $20, a little hefty, but it's very, very robust. I mean, it is every single level start to finish. Granted, you only have the 100 seconds, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that are up for the challenge of, not only can I clear the level, can I get all 3 coins? Because some of them are really hard, and it's going to take that Mega Man level of muscle memory in order to be able to do it. And I think there's a lot of people that want that difficulty out of a Mario Brothers game. So here you go. Enjoy. Game Guru in chat says, now it's Luigi's time to shine. Nabbit steals all the power-ups. Dang, Nabbit. Yeah, Nabbit is still... that whole thing is actually still in the game. But you know what else is weird? Because since Mario's not in it, you have Luigi, the two Toads, and Nabbit is the fourth player. So you could have Nabbit chasing Nabbit. It's very meta.
But Nabbit actually is the kind of easy mode in the game because Nabbit can't die.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm. I haven't switched away from Luigi. Yeah. Interesting. Tiger Claw reminding us Super Luigi U is also going to be a standalone product as well. You know, I got to give props to Nintendo for really dummy-proofing their DLC. Like, they're not trying to make an easy buck off of somebody stupid because, you know, when you go into the store to download it, it says, do you own Super Mario Bros. Wii U? You cannot play this without it. And you have to hit yes, I own it in order to download it. And it even says, if you download this, or no, it says, if you own the disc of Super Luigi U, you do not need to download this. They are the same. Like, there's a lot of little reminders in there, and I thought, wow, they're really idiot-proofing this so they don't get any angry phone calls. Although somebody's still going to fuck up.
I think Nintendo's MO, though, is, you know, CYA.
Mm-hmm. True. Cover your assets. Koopa Kid Jeremy in chat pointing out, Nabbit can die in pits, but otherwise invincible. You know what the trick is, though? Get that baby Yoshi and do his little... get the pink one where when you hit the trigger, he blows up like a balloon. So easy to get through a lot of levels of that. Just saying. Good times. All right. Game Guru says, I got to admit, Nintendo's first attempt at DLC is rather admirable. To be fair, the gold coins, Super Mario 2, I can't even keep them straight anymore. That was the first DLC. But first console DLC, yes. There you go. All right. That's it for Gaming Weeks. We got to move on. We've got stories to get into.
That's all we did.
Well, we got this bottle of Patron to open here.
I need my one shot.
But first... we got to do housekeeping, and I've got a lot of housekeeping tonight, so I'll try to make this quick. First off, I have to give a wink and a nod to the fact that it is our 11th birthday. Thank you all, OL Army, for your support of this show. And, you know, we may not have the biggest audience on the internet, but we have some of the most loyal. And you guys are amazing, and you turn up here Sunday nights, and you are really our motivation for still doing this. I mean, OLR will have to end someday. I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying this. Don't panic. But I'm just saying it's going to end someday. Because, you know, eventually somebody's going to move away, there's going to be a job, there's just going to be something where we're not going to be able to do the show anymore. But we couldn't have kept it going as long as we have and had the discipline and the motivation to be here every Sunday if it weren't for your guys and your continued support. And it really feels like our family grows every week. I see new people in chat every week, and it's just, it's amazing. And it's, when people ask me, like, why do you do that? You've done that every Sunday. How on earth? Where do you find your motivation? I'm like, just look at the chat.
No, the other thing, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I got that one today, didn't I? So, you guys are great. Thank you so much. So here's to 11 more years. We hope we're going to keep doing this as long as we possibly can. Other things I want to plug. I would like to give a shout out, and many of them are in chat, so I'm just going to say holla to the Koopa Club podcast. They spell it a little funky, so let me spell that for you. It's Q-O-O-P-A-K-L-U-B, and you can search that on iTunes or what have you, whatever podcasting site, because they had me as a guest on their 25th episode this week.
So would it be like it's all the Koopa kids, except they're played by John Delancey?
Yes, it's just like that, actually. What? All right. No. So, yeah, check that out. I was on their latest episode. And it was a lot of fun. And they asked me some dirty questions about Nintendo. It was a very Nintendo love episode. And the last question was a little bit dirty. They made me pick the Mary Fuck Kill from the Nintendo world. So I'm going to just leave it at that. So there you go. Also, since I brought up Koopa Club, I want to give a shout-out to Gamer X, because I haven't been plugging this enough on Orange Lounge Radio, but if you're in Northern California, especially the Bay Area, you've got to go to Gamer X. That's going to be on August 3rd and August 4th, and it's taking place, I forget the name of the hotel, but it's Japantown.
Somewhere.
It's
Kabuki. Oh, Miyako.
Yeah. It's that whole district.
This is the side that's the Miyako Mall, right?
Can I just say why Alan is perfect? Because
by the way, those are peanut butter. Chocolate brownies.
Alan, you just got home from work.
Yes.
You literally walked through the door.
Yes.
What's the first place you went to?
I went into the kitchen and got shot glasses and put them on the dining room table because I was listening to the feed from my phone. So as I'm coming through the apartment complex, I hear, we need a drink to Patron. Why is the Patron still closed? I'm like, I have to grab the shot glasses as soon as I walk through the door. So I did.
He's so wonderful.
Alan wins a brownie. Here, have one.
Have a brownie.
They're crumbly.
All right, anyway. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Gamer X. So Gamer X on Saturday night with Koopa Club and Game Buoy and my other show, Horde House, and Game Bar and God knows who else, we're going to be doing like a podcast panel, and it's going to just be a big party and celebrating indie podcasting. And you can do it, too. So, yeah, check that out at Gamer X. And don't be shy. Say hello, because we're all like regular people, and we want to meet cool people. And if you listen to this show and you made it this far, chances are you're a cool person.
Oh, my God, Rob, I should cosplay.
You should. What are you going to cosplay as?
I don't know. I'll probably do something.
You should go as your Animal Crossing lesbian.
No. Because I figured if it's me, I have to do something annoying, so I'm going to Homestuck.
Ugh.
Ha ha.
All right. Anyhow, also I want to put this out there. So Gamer X, Koopa Club, and one last thing. If you were listening to the show last week, Bobby Blackwolf, our friend and pal who does the show before ours every Sunday night at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern, his house was struck by lightning in the middle of our show last week. And he lost a lot of video game consoles because of it. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing because you can see his post that will catch you up on it on our VogNetwork.com forums. You can also listen to it on his show, kind of the wrap-up and everything. And it just – dude's been going through a lot this week. And to have lightning hit your fucking house, like I just – man, just – I'm so glad that so many people were able to help him out. However, I'm bringing it up because Bobby still needs help with one thing. He has a Neo Geo AES US version, and he's trying to get this repaired because it did suffer damage, but it is repairable. He says he could do it himself, but he doesn't really have time, so he would love to be able to ship this out, PayPal you money, have you ship it back.
I did suggest earlier,
mm-hmm.
seeing if you could find out who it was, that the guy who runs Classic Game Room had an NVS, but the boards are similar.
Well, my hope is that one of our listeners, maybe who doesn't talk to us an awful lot, who just listens to this show, my hope is somebody's sitting out there going, I do that, or like my friend owns a shop and they do that. My hope is that somebody out there is listening that could do that.
Someone could be sleeping in a bed of AES boards.
Please contact us. You can fill out a form at vognetwork.com that will email Bobby directly. You can email me and I'll get you in touch with Bobby. We're super approachable. If you think you can help out with the Neo Geo AES situation, please, please, please reach out and get a hold of us. Go on to vognetwork.com and the contact us page and send Bobby a quick letter. He would deeply appreciate it. We want our friend to get his Neo Geo back, because how else is he going to play Fatal Fury Special? Which was sort
he
of...
He could come to my house. Bobby, come to my house and bring all your games. We'll have a party.
All right. And Bobby is also pointing out in chat room, bonus, if you could also just mod it at the same time, because, you know... He might want to be able to play more games on that Neo Geo.
Well, I think it's actually more of a physical thing. You can switch there's a switch on the games themselves, I think. Because our Samurai Showdown 2 is Japanese.
I don't know shit about Neo Geos because I never owned one. I only played them in the arcade. So
unless it's to do modified NVS cartridges, I don't know.
I have a couple of Neo Geo arcade boards. One is modded to play all region stuff, and I have a 48-in-1 cart, and I have a super gun that would plug into that takes Neo Geo controllers. There you go. There's a killer combo right there.
All right. Well, I'm hoping that Bobby gets what he needs. He also mentions the video mod that will put it over S-Video component and a BIOS mod to affect the lives and stuff. Those are the types of mods he's looking for. So, all right. Good luck, Bobby. We all are hoping to see you get through that and get your consoles even better than they were before lightning hit your house. All right. 7:15 and we have yet to hit the news. So let's jump into a busy week in gaming news. Loki.
Oh,
and this bottle still closed. I think
no,
we need
it's
to.
Not.
Yay! All right.
Holy shit!
All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the Xbox One. Of course, one of the wonderful comments that come out before the whole 180 flop on the DRM stuff was them defending the $499 price tag, basically saying, and this is Don Matrick, of course. It's It's a lower number than some of the analysts had forecasted. We're over-delivering value against other choices. I think consumers can get, any product or any modern product these days. You're going to look at it, and $4.99 is a ridiculous price point. We're delivering thousands of dollars of value to people, so I think they're going to love it when they use it. So he's basically comparing, you know, the $4.99 price point of the Xbox One as kind of like an iPad or something like that, which is a terrible comparison if you ask me, because I mean that's apples and oranges right there versus, you know, game consoles. That's like saying, hey, well, you know what, this console only costs $4.99. I mean, at least it's not a $30,000 car, right? Yeah, you know, it's way cheaper. Such a lightweight, Rob.
Behind the scenes, Rob has done now I have a voice now thanks to tequila.
Sorry, Loki, I've totally not been paying attention because we all did a shot while you were reading that story, and that burned so much I've been doing gay flappy hands around the house while
just flailing around everywhere.
It burns. Oh my god, I'm warm. That's ooh.
And meanwhile, I'm sitting here going,
I don't usually do shots of hard alcohol. This is Alan, by the way. I've never done a shot of tequila before. It's not as bad as the time I tried a shot of 151, which I was tricked into doing.
That's Patron.
Yes, yeah, nice, better smooth, smooth tequila.
That's the stuff that doesn't. Rob totally got the shivers.
See, I was
Patron
get,
is the only tequila that doesn't give me the shivers.
I was going to get a little glasses of orange juice in case anyone needs a chaser, because I don't know how much it burns, but that was actually very smooth.
Ah, Kuba Kid Jeremy in chat says, vine it, Rob. I wish I thought to do that. I guess I'll have to take another shot.
Yay, more shots.
Bummer. Actually, next up is Fireball, because we've still got some of that. So.
Kind of scared about that one.
All right, here we go. Anyway, where were we, Loki? Summarize for me real quick. Sorry.
What up, GS, if I had a Neo Geo emulator? Yes, I do have an emulator for Neo Geo stuff. No, I'm talking actually an MVS board, like arcade Neo Geo boards. I have two single-slot arcade boards because I got one with my arcade cabinet and then another one because I don't know why, because I need to buy another one, I guess. All right, so basically they're defending the price hike, saying, oh, it's a wonderful piece of electronics, and so $4.99 is not that bad when you compare it to, like, an iPad or something like that, which I say is a terrible comparison because, you know, they're very different devices. But... obviously.
Do you think this decision is going to single-handedly damn the device? Because that's how you were talking earlier in the show.
It's definitely going to hurt it because basically now people are comparing the two consoles that are coming out. You have one that spec-wise is more powerful than the other one. That would be the PS4. And it's cheaper and doesn't require Kinect. And I know for some people that, you know, the fact that you're not getting Kinect in there is kind of... you know, they're looking at it, well, you know, you still have to buy the camera for the PlayStation 4, and that's going to be an extra $60. But a lot of people just don't give a shit about that camera and aren't planning on using it anyway. Same as, like, you know, those people like myself that probably would get, you know, an Xbox One with the Kinect and not use the Kinect because, unless it's like a dancing game or something that, you know, really relies on it. But, like, you're not going to probably use it for... you know, Forza or, you know, Rise. I'm not going to go flailing my arms to do, you know, finishing moves in Rise or something. So that's the thing is, I think you would have an easier time selling it for $500 if they really showed why that Kinect is so important. Just like how Nintendo did with the Wii, showing why controlling this games like this is way better than controlling it with a controller.
You know what I would love from a perfectly selfish, I don't care about talking about this on the show because I totally just had a shot type of standpoint, is that if this whole like thing about Twitch integration and all that with the Kinect, wouldn't that be great if like we could broadcast our show over the Xbox 360 with like over the Xbox One, excuse me, with Kinect and that whole thing, like because of the Twitch integration? Like, could we do that?
Yeah, well, the problem would be is you'd have to have some sort of gameplay on there. You can't just broadcast.
We used to do that.
I know.
When we had the larger studio.
You could technically do that because they have it where it's going to pick up audio from the game and it's going to pick up audio from you as well. Hmm. So you could probably rig it somehow to do that, I guess. It'd probably be easier to do that through like a PC, though. But I guess you could you know, point a camera at it. But, I mean, you could kind of do that now with, like, I don't know, Skype or something, I guess. You know, point a camera at whatever we're doing. But, I don't know. I just think that's ridiculous. Okay, so other stuff. Let's talk about other things. We already mentioned, of course, Kinect's always required. And, you know, they're saying that they're not planning on, you know, offering the system without the Kinect because it is a core part of the experience and because I think at this point it's too late to change any of that stuff.
I have bad news that's very important that we have to discuss.
What?
I was reminded by Alan that last time we were entertaining friends, we drank the rest of the Fireball.
Oh.
I'm very sorry, JVmon. You came out here for nothing. But I would like
time to go home.
I would like to say to Pod Culture, thanks. I was like, we really finished that whole thing off, but yeah, I guess we did between the 500th episode and all that.
And also,
sorry, Logie.
And also, the other thing should be mentioned is nothing has changed as far as cloud computing. So, whereas yes, there will be games that you know can play offline. A lot of them will be online only because they require cloud computing, and I think that also goes for the PlayStation 4 as well. They are able to use cloud computing for, you know, their titles as well. So
you could still have a SimCity-esque game.
Yes,
you could
have a lot of that
on the Xbox. I'm never going to stop calling it the 360. The 361. You know, you're never going to. You're still going to have games like SimCity that will.
You could, yeah.
Because we all see how well that went.
That's
but I guess it did. But it still sold tons.
But here's the thing, though, is if it's such a big deal or if it's such a problem with those cloud computing things, people are going to be made aware of it. You know, people are going to say, hey, you guys, watch out because, you know, the next Forza or whatever is going to be, you know, something that requires cloud computing. And, you know, if their servers go down, your cars are going to start murdering people or something. I don't know. So I think that there's going to be a lot of. You know, awareness out there. And also, it's probably something that's on the box.
Lots of interesting stuff in chat. Shadow Next Gen says, the PlayStation camera is so screwed. Developers won't be able to assume people have it and might get the same type of support PlayStation Moved received. That is to say, not much. I'm with you and I'm not, because I still feel like at E3, it looks like it's not getting any support anyway. I get as far as the core elements, and I'm using my quotey fingers of the console when it comes to like watching TV with friends and other stuff, like it has it. And so, you know, you can assume that anybody with an Xbox One is going to have that, but I have yet to see how that really positively impacts games. I hope that's coming.
I don't think that's really a big deal, though, because once again, like with Kinect even though we know that system uses Kinect all the time, they still have other ways to navigate that menu and stuff. It's not just with, you know, gestures. So what's the difference, I say? You know, you're already implementing other control methods anyways, and most likely are probably going to stick to standardized, you know, controller usage and stuff and not just going to go all gung-ho with, you know, just the camera. But, you know, if they're already doing this, what's the big deal if it may not be in there? Just, you know, prepare for both scenarios. I think camera usage is not a big deal. It's back when the 360 was, we can't assume that they have a hard drive, was a problem.
So, just throwing it out there for the live listeners, apparently our stream just keeps dropping, and again...
Our stream's drunk.
I don't know. Oh, God, it's doing it again. This is horrible.
The stream had some Patron.
Guys.
I did a reconnect from scratch. It, like, dropped twice in a row there. I just did a reconnect from scratch. I hope that keeps... I reset the internet before the show and everything. I don't get it. Nobody's...
I'm a witness.
Oh, my God. It just went down again. This is horrible.
Our stream is a whore.
I don't know what to do, you guys. This is really bad.
Does she keep going down?
She does keep going down.
This is... it. That's, like, three times in the scope of, like, 1 minute that it went down. And me drinking is not helping any. So... I don't know.
Thanks, NSA.
Everybody's got their... Alan, you're not running torrents, are you? He says no. All right. Sorry, guys. I wish we could fix this. I don't know what else to do. I'm thinking. I honestly can't afford any new computer parts right now. I'm like, we could replace that router because that one's really old. But anyway, I guess this is a conversation best had off air. So,
yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Talk to me after.
Okay. Yeah, that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, but there's literally is not on our end. We're not running torrents or anything that would interrupt the stream. This well, is not reasonable.
Two, the other thing is, you know, notice we're not dropping out of chat. It's not anything.
Exactly. It's not us. It's the host.
Yeah, I hate to say it. We might need to think about another host. This keeps up. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Should we move on with the next story? Are we good?
Yeah.
All right. The free-to-play franchise out of Nintendo has been announced. It's Steel Diver.
Boo!
Blah.
Dang, y'all haters. What's wrong with Steel Diver?
It's lame. It's a lame... the game wasn't that popular at launch. Granted, it's a first-party title, and it was kind of lame for the 3DS launch. And now that they're coming out free-to-play, it's just like, cool, I'm sure people will download it to try it out. But it's just kind of like, eh. Whatever. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's like, I don't know. I can't really think of another lame Nintendo first-party title that was on the 3DS. And Steel Diver is pretty bad. I mean, Pilot Wings would be kind of second. I don't know. Do free-to-play Nintendogs or something like that. At least then you could charge DLC for, like, collars and bullshit.
Puppies for
hats.
Free.
Well, I kind of understand, though, that you want to dip your big toe into this big, scary new world, which is free-to-play with a game that maybe not a lot of, you know, that doesn't, like, you don't want to fuck up Pokemon. Like, you're not going to take one of your big, big franchises into the free-to-play world. I agree with something maybe like Pilot Wings or, you know, as much as my fanboy self would love it, something like F-Zero going free-to-play would be great, you know, but I understand that Nintendo has to kind of test this first before they can really do it, you know?
Let's test it with crap.
Are they very... So is this coming to the Wii U, or is this just 3DS still?
I believe this is still only 3DS. You got Tank on the Wii U, although that's third party.
Yeah, that's still part of that whole Namco experimenting with...
And it's more just a glorified demo, honestly.
Was Steel Diver that big of a 3DS property? It was like, hey, out of all the things we can make a free-to-play game... How about Steel Diver?
No, and I think that's why it is this game. Because, you know, again, if it fucks up and crashes and burns horribly, oh well, it was Steel Diver.
So it's like, it's only Steel Diver's reputation that got shat on.
Exactly. And I think with a big thing like this, that's the type of game that you have to do it with, right? Well, let me throw this out there, though, that Nintendo is open to the idea of other free-to-play games. One of them mentioned by the lead designer named Katsuya Iguchi of Animal Crossing. Possibly a free-to-play Animal Crossing.
That's a dangerous combination.
Which would have the dreaded microtransactions. They have to just consider what would be free at the beginning. Nintendo would have to have a business model that works. Here's the quote. I think the main thing that we need to think about before even considering doing something like that is to determine what we're going to make available from the beginning. I think that's key in deciding whether we do something like that. If I find a business model that works, however, that works for Nintendo and the end user, then I can't say free-to-play is something we wouldn't consider. When you look at our main audience in Japan, they are definitely that audience that has smartphones. They are women in their late teens and early 20s. They are certainly paying free-to-play games on their smartphone. I'm sure a free-to-play Animal Crossing makes a lot of people happy. But then again, I kind of like the pay-to-play Animal Crossing because I like the fact that one great thing about the new Animal Crossing is how new features kind of slowly roll out to your town. I would really hate it if I had to pay for that. So I would hope if they go to free-to-play route with a game like Animal Crossing that you can also just buy the game up front. Like Killer Instinct on Xbox One we were talking about last week. You know, it's getting a lot of shit for the free-to-play thing, but you can just buy it all at once, too. Either one of those would be great. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, going in the same vein as talking about Animal Crossing, there's something that Reggie said in a recent interview, actually coming out of E3, that has a lot of people really perking up, and that's that they were reviewing the Tomodachi Collection in Japan as far as localization. In fact, he was talking about the sort of casual game where you could play it in short bursts and pick it up at any given time. And that's why he's saying Tomodachi Collection, which anyone who doesn't know, Tomodachi means friend, you know, saying that that would be definitely a title to consider. They were looking also into wanting to work with the retailers to make sure that they can provide the games in the best format possible. So that's even including digital or physical.
What do you think about these comments?
I would like to see Tomodachi Collection. I mean, if I had a Wii U, I would be interested.
That was the same game that we were talking about the other week that had the bug where you could get gay married in it.
Yeah.
It sounded interesting, because especially with Animal Crossing being as big as it is.
I would have married my lesbian.
Who wouldn't?
I shipped my little kid and the lesbian.
Of course you did. Of course I did. Have you seen Reggie's house in Animal Crossing, by the way?
No.
Comedy. Google it. It's funny.
Someone posted like a picture a while back of saying, "Oh, your house is top notch, blah blah blah," and you go inside the person's house and it's all skeletons and wallpaper that says "You will die." That was the best.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, that was the big thing that I really wanted to point out with this article, is it's got a lot of people jumping on it because people really want to see Tomodachi Collection come out over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically saying, "Yeah, we're considering it as a possibility."
All right, Loki, what do you have for us?
All right. Well, there's a rumor that they're going to bring game sharing to Steam. And this is actually coming from the beta update files. Someone has gone through there. And apparently it makes reference to some different, pop-up dialogue boxes. For example, it says shared game library. And says, just so you know, your games are currently in use by, you know, person that's borrowing it. Playing now will send, you know, whoever's borrowing it a notice that it's time to quit. And this shared game is currently unavailable. Please try again later or buy this game for your own library. So it sounds like that, you know, if you have a library of a ton of games that you're just not playing, that other people can access those games and play them. Which, like any Steam user, probably that library would be very expansive. There's probably going to be, you're probably going to be able to play any game that you want on there, because, I mean, shit, I have like 100 some games and I probably play about 6 of them. So we'll see if this is something that they're actually implementing, you know, coming to a Steam beta near you. Maybe. I don't know.
Do you think that maybe there's something that was being developed in response to Xbox One, and now it's like, yeah, we'll do it anyway? I want to say I heard the earlier rumors about this long before Xbox One, though.
I think they could do something like this. I think it would be interesting as reselling, and you're reselling your games, like, say, I don't know, through like Steam, how you can actually put it up on the marketplace and stuff like that, and maybe have the original creator get a portion of the profit from it or something. Maybe like they pay like, you pay like a 10% fee or something, and, you know, whoever buys it, you know, that fee goes to the person that put the game up there. I think that'd be kind of cool.
All right. What we're going to do here before we get into the next story, we're going to take a quick break. And what we're going to do for the live folks, we're going to reset our routers here in the house to hopefully get a better connection. We're just going to try it, because right now it's pretty miserable right now for the live listeners. So we're going to go down one more time, live folks, but this one is planned, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. And for those of you guys listening on the podcast, you'll just hear that little musical interlude, and we'll be right back with more news right after this. To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, blood. Okay, we should be back with Orange Lounge Radio live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Just a little bit of technical background. Maybe the podcast folks would be interested in this too. The way we have it set up here in the apartment is that we have the main router and the cable modem are in the office. And then we actually have a second router out here in the living room, which everything is tied to, including the show computer. What we've done is we've actually, to try and fix the problem, we have bypassed the living room router completely. It's actually unplugged now. That was a crossover router, so it's still the same network or whatever. Alan knows more about this stuff than I do. So we've actually taken the connection and plugged it into the main router directly.
Ron, I can give you a switch instead of just the router.
Oh, is Alan here to translate?
I was just want to let people know that the router that we have in the living room is in switch mode or bridge mode, so it's not doing its own set of NAT addresses, because that's bad. So it's just bridging the cable into the office router, but now we're bypassing that altogether. So hopefully that'll fix it.
All right, well, we'll see how long we can hold the connection. I've got the little clock here.
Otherwise, I have like three switches at home.
Yeah, we might need to look into something like that. I mean, luckily, the cord is long enough we can do that. It's just really ugly and unattractive. But if this fixes the problem, then we'll just do this in future weeks and replace that router when we can. But we'll see what happens. Well, let's just keep on moving forward with the show, even though I've been drinking. And this next story would have driven me to drink anyway. It has to do with Miyamoto talking about the F-Zero franchise, and it's not what we want to hear. In an interview with IGN, he said, quote, "I certainly understand that people want a new F-Zero game. I think where I struggle is that I don't really have a good idea for what's new that we could bring to F-Zero that would really turn it into a great game again. Certainly I can see how people looking at Mario Kart 8 could see through the anti-gravity a connection to F-Zero, but I don't know at this point what direction we could go in with a new F-Zero.
You take F-Zero GX, make it prettier, add more tracks, done. You don't
Rainbow
need to do
Road,
anything.
Rainbow Road, Rainbow Road.
Right? That's Mario Kart, silly. Although, sorry. It would be neat to have a crossover.
Yes.
But, yeah, I...
Well, no, that's actually what I was saying, is put, like, the whole Rainbow Road thing, do, like Rainbow Track or something, or Rainbow Space or whatever.
More of the same would actually be okay. I mean, we were just talking about Ridge Racer earlier.
GX was awesome. It was a fantastic game. There's not really much you can really improve on that other than more tracks, because, you know, that's always good. And, you know, better visuals. I mean, it could look really cool, like almost like a Wipeout game or something like that. You know, just make it, think of what the visuals could look like. It'd be amazing.
Forgot.
Track editor would be even better, too.
I forgot about this. Black Wolf in chat says there was a Rainbow Road in F-Zero X. It was the exact same track as Mario Kart 64, just a lot faster. You know, F-Zero X, I don't think I played nearly as much of, because I didn't have a 64 until late. Then I did the GameCube one, which was amazing.
Which base question, then, are we going to see F-Zero GX tracks in Mario Kart 8?
Maybe.
Show me your moves.
Dark Tetsuya says, oh, I don't know. How about online play? That would take Nintendo understanding online.
Nintendo doesn't admit
which
online
is a
exists.
Whole nother Oprah.
The equivalent of Nintendo online is them sticking their fingers in their ears, closing their eyes, going, la, 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 la.
All right, let's jam through these next few stories because we're running long because of all these tech issues and everything else. So, Dark Sakura, and then release dates.
Well, this is actually a story that came from my honey. There was, I don't know if everyone remembers the big claim about, for Madden, about, Robin, Antonic, who was, one of the, I believe one of the designers for the original Madden series, was owed quite a bit of royalties. Well, they've, basically stated that that case has not expired and this guy still due a whole bunch of money. I filed the original suit in 2011 that claimed that EA breached contract signed in 1986 for royalties on derivative versions of the game. And they're basically saying, nope, you still owe you money. You gotta pay. Oopsie-a, blah. Hmm. So, he owes money. He's owed money. EA has to suck it.
Well, cool. At least we'll see that trial go. I wonder if that could mean anything to the Madden NFL franchise, if they'll just say, you know, we're going to change the name or something.
They'll have to do whatever.
Like Madden's relevant.
Yeah. John matters. They'll do whatever they have to do to save it. We'll see.
EA Football 2014.
All right, release dates. Loki.
This week's actually some decent stuff coming out. Game of Wario was today on the Wii U. This week, Deadpool. PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
I need this game.
Yes, Deadpool will be coming out. Also, what else was there? There was the Company of Heroes 2 on PC, Muramasa Rebirth on the Vita. You get an expansion for The Sims 3, Island Paradise. Also, Best of PlayStation Network Volume 1 on PS3. So, disc based release of, was it Fat Princess, Sound Shapes? And I don't remember the other two games in there, but looked pretty cool. PC, Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded. Vita and 3DS, Lego Legends of Chima, Laval's Journey. Project X Zone on the 3DS, which is pretty awesome. I mean, that's that Namco Sega Atlas crossover, I want to say. And then also this week... Of course, a game I'm actually going to try to check out, Ride the Hell Retribution on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. It's a game from Deep Silver, a biker sandbox game set in the 70s. It's like the Lost and the Damned all over again. That's it.
All right. I am traveling over to Japan right now. Let's get on a plane. Let's go to check out the release dates over there. And I'm going, excuse me, tequila burp. All right. Let's start with the PlayStation.
You had one shot.
I know, right? I am a sad lightweight. I tried to tell you this earlier, right? Like one Long Island iced tea and I'm like taking my top off. I swear it's horrific. All right. PlayStation 3 over in Japan. Atelier, Esha, and Laji, Tasogari, Nosora, Norenkin, Jusushi. I don't know if that's related to the Atelier collection we're getting here in the U.S. very soon, probably. Also on the PlayStation 3 this week, June 27th. There's a lot of shit this week, you guys. Date A Live, Skin Seal Set for PlayStation 3. What? Oh, a Skin Seal. That's just controller stuff. You have to. It sounds a little dirty when you hear that, though.
I thought it was like another porn title.
All right. No, date. The game is Date A Live Rine Utopia comes out, and it's got schoolgirls on the cover. You know what that means.
Dating sim.
Dating sim. Uh-oh.
She's holding her boobies.
Uh-oh. That one's. Oh, my. That one is. That one is sucking on a creamsicle.
Nice.
That is, she's like 16, perv.
Hey. She's just drawn that way.
Gundam Breaker. Memories Off 6 Complete. The other game was Panties Off 6 Complete. This is Memories Off 6 Complete. And Memories Off Yubikiri no Kyoku. Also, Biohazard 5. That's Resident Evil. AEN Revival Selection HD Remaster Twin Pack. I believe that's a price reduction. The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim gets a price reduction over there as well. Tachi Shio Love Application. What the fuck is wrong with you guys over there in your games this week, you bunch of pervs? This one features ladies in swimming suits who are also underage. And this
it sounds
one
seasonally appropriate.
This one has a cat tail and you can see her panties. Look at that. This is
upskirt.
And now she has a gun. Wow, don't.
Hey.
Wow. She's
that
a...
was a total camel toe.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what to think about PlayStation 3 releases in Japan this week, especially after I've had a whopping shot.
This is funny. Rob's just had a double. I have had two shots.
I had three.
Hello. The only reason I'm stopping it, too, is because I got to drive.
I had a gallbladder removed. All right. On the Xbox 360, Grand Theft Auto 4, the complete edition, as well as Skyrim. Those are all getting price reductions. A new game, Sniper Ghost Warrior 2, comes out this week on the Xbox 360. So, hey, how about it for 360 releases in Japan?
It's about time that Japan, you know, can shoot Hitler in the balls.
On the PlayStation
Vita. Well, we haven't had a Japanese game kill Hitler since, what, Bionic Commando?
PlayStation Vita Tukaiden comes out this week. Also, Sengoku Hime 2, Tenka Hato, Shishi no Keshusha comes out in regular and luxury limited edition this week. And what is this game? Again, ladies that look like they're dressed for the military this time. I swear, any fetish you got, they got
it's
it this
probably
week.
Probably high school something.
In the military? I don't know. And on the 3DS this week, Starry Sky in Summer 3D. And Digimon World re-digitized decode.
Digimon game!
Yay. In case you were worried that Digimon...
Are we the Digimon fans in the room or what?
You're the Digimon fans on the planet. Congratulations.
Hey.
All right, let's travel to
For
Europe.
For the record, Digimon 02 was the best of the Digimon series. Just saying.
Digimon greater than Pokemon. Just saying.
Totally greater than.
Ugh, sacrilege.
So on June 25th, we have Company of Heroes 2 on PC. And on the 28th, we have Dark for PC, Deadpool on Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. We have Game & Wario on the Wii U, and Ride to Hell, Xbox 360, PS3, and PC. And hopefully it's better than Drag Me to Hell, because that movie was shit. Tiara made me see that movie.
Damn you, Tiara.
I didn't pay for it, so well, neither did
she.
Oh,
okay. Well, thank you, Tiara.
That was still an awful movie. And I love Sam Raimi, and that was a bad movie.
All right, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week, Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about bad firmware. And nobody likes bad firmware, especially bad firmware that's pushed out on the PlayStation 3 that kind of bricks consoles. Thankfully, there is a way to fix your console, because I guess somehow it removed your cross-media bar or something like that. That's a problem. No menu. And you can actually boot your console into a recovery mode or debug mode or something and allow you to re-download the update when it is released again on Thursday, on June 27th. And I guess it's a small number of PS3s who are affected by it, but any number is still bad. And you know, if you haven't updated your console like myself, it's good to note that they have taken off the bad firmware off the network right now until the update is released. So, because I just updated to 4.41, so that sucks. Thankfully, though, it doesn't sound like there's any permanent damage. It's just a minor week-long inconvenience.
Blesses of you.
Well, I have not turned on my PlayStation 30 or 3. My PlayStation 30. My PlayStation.
Rob, our speak good.
I was talking in chat. I was giving Drew Nami a hard time because I said, "God, he's got to be pushing 30," and he's like, "Fuck you, I'm 28."
One shot of tequila.
People. I remember Drew Nami being our young Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. How things have changed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to a story about Final Fantasy XII, which was a really overlooked Final Fantasy game.
I overlooked it.
It just came out at a bad time.
I own it, and I overlooked it.
It came out at a time when a lot of people had moved on to other consoles. Well, this is really exciting news. In an interview with the site RPG Site, it's a very descriptive name. You know what you're going to get when you go there. Producer Yoshinori Kitase, who's producing Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD, was asked about what about other games coming these HD. And, quote, "We'll have to wait and see if these remasters are going to be successful first. If they do well, I think this will pave the way for more of the previous games to be remade in an HD sort of quality. I mean, if we had to single out one of the vast number of Final Fantasy titles which we could make in HD, it would have to be Final Fantasy XII. Yes! Balthier and Fran in HD. Yes! Can't wait.
There's Seven, hello. And yeah, Seven wasn't the greatest game, mm-hmm. but Vincent, hello.
You just want Aerith to die.
I want Aerith to die repeatedly. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. 1080p and Aerith death.
1080p Aerith death. Oh my god.
But the problem with...
It would have to have like blood particle physics and everything.
You know, that's the problem though with bringing Seven. Seven, it was so low poly that, you know, to up-res it's going to look like crap. And also, you know, with... You know, I think these PlayStation 2 games is a little easier to do the HD remix. Plus, they've got, you know, PlayStation 2 emulation engines already built that they can just dump it in, up-res the assets, mm-hmm. and they're done.
I hope they do it. I would really love 12 in HD. I really hope they do it.
High-res Aerith death.
All right.
And high-res Vincent, hello.
Are you done salivating over there? Because it's time to go back when games weren't in HD.
God damn it.
Although, well... Actually, this one kind of did do an HD thing
later.
Yeah,
it did.
But anyway, we're going to look back at the classicness of this upcoming game here. In a segment we call Classic Game of the Week, where Darkstalker is going to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you should be playing this game.
Get off my lawn and play this game.
And for our 11th birthday, Darkstalker has picked a game that's about 11 years old.
Pretty much.
But it's one that's very fond. I think a good choice to mark our 11th birthday.
Yep. So you want to know what it is, everyone?
Of course I do.
Rez, motherfuckers. Why couldn't I pick Rez? I haven't done Rez the entire 11 damn years of the show. I picked Rez tonight. And I think I put it up on a boss battle on the last...
Mostly because Rez wasn't really an old game until now.
Well, you know, I was going with Dreamcast era, and yeah, it did have a PS2 re-release. So anyway, Rez came up when it was developed. It was under the codenames AK Project, Project Eden, and Vibes. It's a rail shooter that came out by Sega in 2001 for Dreamcast and PS2, and it had a European Dreamcast and a US PS2 release in 2002. The game was the dream child of one Tetsuya Mizuguchi. And you know what?
Who I still fanboy over. Like if I fanboy over anybody, it's Mizuguchi. And it's... I even defended 99 Nights, y'all.
You mentioned his name, I need new undies, okay?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And there is a prequel that came out, of course, called Child of Eden, which comes from the name Project Eden that they had. So anyway, it's sort of a super futuristic network called the K Project, and you have to stop an AI called Eden. Excuse me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sick. So basically, you are a hacker trying to basically reboot Eden and destroy viruses and firewalls. And it's basically music, lights, and a vibrator. Or does it get much better than that? Excuse me.
And of course, like any tech person would know, to fix a problem, you have to reboot.
Do you want me to take over? Are you okay?
Yeah, if you don't mind just for a second.
Okay. Hold on. I wasn't prepared to talk about Rez. But I could just wing it a little bit while Dark Soccer's having a thing there. Okay. So in the game, it, of course, it's a rail shooter, right? You play the role of an avatar on the screen, and so it's a shooter on rails. So Fable the Journey, not on rails. Rez, on rails. You lock on to the different enemies on the screen, and you can lock on to up to 8 enemies with what they call the reticule. Once you release the lock-on button, you fire your shots all over, and if you don't hit an enemy or a projectile, you may actually collide, which will cause your evolution bar to go down by 1, and it'll actually change the way your avatar looks like. If the avatar gets to the lowest possible level and you get hit again, you die.
Dead.
Oh, you're back.
Good day, sir.
All right.
I had to go blow my nose because it's the whole thing.
Are you good to keep going? Or?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
What about the overdrive, though, Rob?
What about it?
Well, you can get power-ups as you go, like you were talking about the evolution bar. And you can get another item that triggers an overdrive. So basically, it's a huge... It's basically like the Rez version of the Super Zapper from Tempest. It just kills everything in a big shower of everything. And also, you get like bonus items for your score and everything. So basically, you have 5 areas, and the first 4 are 10 subsections of the boss battle. And the final one is like a boss rush, with then you battle Eden for the final one. It has no sound effects or spoken dialogue. It's all music. Everything is music. So for being a rail shooter, this one's also been lumped in the music game genre. And then that brings me to the trance vibrator.
Oh, my God. Should I say buzz?
There's the funniest video of a guy and his girlfriend playing Rez. It's basically him playing Rez and her playing with vibrator. It was called the trance vibrator. It pulses with the music, and it would be something that you would put in your pocket or sit on. It had a pouch.
Or in your butt.
It came with a pouch that you could put it in to protect it. Not unlike the Wii condom. No.
So the trance vibrator came with a condom, pretty much.
It's actually a fabric bag. But basically, it would vibrate in time with the music. However, the DualShock was actually supposed to be stronger than that, I think. Screw Attack ranked it as the number 1 best gaming peripheral ever. Basically, there were other versions of it that you could buy aftermarket. It was also compatible with Space Channel 5 Part 2. And the Japanese version of Disaster Report.
I had no idea that you could use the trance vibrator with Space Channel 5 Part 2 as well. That's amazing.
Yes, you can.
So you can put Ulala in your butt.
People have reverse engineered it to have it work on a PC. And they've gotten this to work in Japan, where there is a driver out for XP and Windows 2000. There's also a driver that works for Linux kernel. The Xbox 360 version that came out recently, the Rez HD... basically, we'll have just other controllers doing the trance vibration function.
Can I say that when I got Rez HD on 360, I actually did that with the controller.
You actually put a controller in your pants.
No, I did not. But I did the thing that they suggested, where you put one on your back and you lean against the chair and have that on your back. And then I think it said to put the other one
in your butt.
Not on your butt. That joke's over. I think you put the other one like on your arms. I don't remember where they were.
I put it in my bra.
In your bra. But it was weird. But fun. But fun.
Well, speaking of...
and consensual. Most importantly, it was consensual.
Well, actually, this is an interesting thing. The game itself won an award from the Agency for Cultural Affairs Media Art Festival in Japan. It was also one of the Dreamcast games that was chosen to be at the Smithsonian American Art Museum 2012 edition, The Art of Video Games.
If only they knew that you could put that trans vibrator in your butt, then I don't think it would be at the Smithsonian.
Oh my god, Rob. Anyway, Res HD came out for Xbox Live Arcade, as Rob was talking about his exploits with the trans vibrator controller and his pants. And
my back. When did I start wearing pants on my back, Jamie?
By back, he means butt.
Don't be a bitch.
After 5 minutes, I was like, let's go. Anyway, basically, said it's 100. Mizuguchi says it's 100% the same as the Dreamcast version. And to do a new version, he would actually have to get the license from Sega, because he actually did it as a contractor. And that there were no plans for 360 compatible trans vibrator peripheral, because everyone would put it in their butt. or cooch. Not yeah. Everyone is into butt play.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Res HD came out on January 30th, 2008, and it was included with the Cube.
You could just rest it there on your hoo-ha, and I'm sure it would be just a good old time.
You know what, Rob?
What?
We don't discuss my hoo-ha on the show. 11 episodes, and my hoo-ha has bearing on any video game.
11 episodes? How much have you had to drink? 509.
I've had 2 shots, okay?
Yeah.
Rob's over here going, lol, I'm drunk, and I'm like, oh, I just felt it.
Now you're feeling it in your hoo-ha.
You know what? It takes a lot more than 2 shots of tequila for me to feel it in my hoo-ha, okay?
To register participation for this week's episode, use the password hoo-ha.
Ignore that. It's not hoo-ha.
That's not the true word.
But anyway, the Cube's compilation came out with Lumines Live and Every Extent Extra Extreme. And Mizuguchi was saying that there's no reason to not provide it on other platforms other than the Xbox 360. And it was voted the 13th best Xbox Live arcade game of all time by IGN in 2010. Other games that have come out that are related were Audio Surf. Child of Eden, as I said, was a spiritual successor. I guess is how it's pronounced, and Vibribbon. Which Vibribbon is crack, and if you don't know about it, tune in to a bajillion episodes ago where I talked about it. What was it, like 5 years ago that I brought up Vibribbon? Yeah, Vibribbon's old.
Yeah,
it's so is this, everything I talk about's old. It has nothing to do with my hoo-ha. Okay. Rob, for being... I'm almost questioning your sexuality now.
He turns straight when he, you know, gets Rob drunk. It's fine.
I've seen him kiss a girl when he was drunk.
Last week on Orange Lounge Radio, it has nothing to do with my hoo-ha. Yeah, damn right, lady. All right.
Rob's actually kind of pink in the face. It's adorable.
You know, us here at Microsoft think that's a great catchphrase.
Rob, you had a double shot.
Okay, yeah. To be fair, I had a double shot.
You had a double shot. I had a single, and then I had another single dumped in my orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alan. We are back for the back here. Very muted. You're welcome.
All right.
We are not doing what's the word?
Just think about all those live listeners.
We are not hashtagging hoo-ha for the chat.
Just think of all the live listeners that left early because they were like, fuck it, I can't stand these connection problems, and left. They're missing the hoo-ha chat.
Well, it was a big change from our dick and fart jokes. Now it's hoo-ha and queef jokes.
Wait, who started the queef jokes? What? There's a queef
joke? I'm trying to think of other things that go with dick and fart. If dick and fart would be the male version, then hoo-ha and queef would be...
Hey, you know what? It's all about gender equality, so...
I'm an equal opportunity stinker. Oh my god.
And that's the classic game of the week, Rez.
You want to know what I just remembered, Rob? I've also had a shot of Robitussin before I left for the show.
Are you going to be okay to drive home?
It's the Tussin that does it.
It's the Tussin and it's the tequila.
It wasn't the Patron that did it. It was the Robitussin.
I call it Tuss tequila.
There it is. You're. I was like, is that bottle gone? That bottle's halfway tussin. Gone?
No. Do you, okay,
I'm up to my fourth shot.
6 years for me to finish mine that you got me when I turned 30. Okay? It's not Queef Latifah.
There it is, your classic. Can I finish?
Bite me.
Can I finish?
No. That's your classic game of the week. This is Dark Sakura for Orange Lounge Radio, and suck it.
Rez, your classic game of the week, featuring the trans vibrator. on your hoo-ha. All right. That does it for part A. But stay tuned because there's plenty more to come with Rapid Fire News, the Fugal Question of the Week, Mailbag, FUs of the Week, and who knows what.
OLR is drunk. Go home.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio.
Hi there, this is Captain Spike.
And First Mate Slagkick.
From GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And you're participating with Orange Lounge Radio, the show where every gamer has a voice.
And we want to use our voice to tell you to support indie broadcasting. And congratulations to Orange Lounge Radio on 11 wonderful years.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh my God. We're gonna see.
Yeah, isn't First Mate Slagkick here next week?
I think so.
You better be.
Oh my God, I got sent a picture of a ferret.
That is the cutest thing I've seen all day.
Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio.
What?
Part B, our 11th anniversary episode. It's been a very weird night so far. Obviously, with the live feed, it was going up and down in part A. We think we fixed it, knock on wood, hopefully. And then we were having all those problems. Then Jamie started talking about her hoo-ha. So
you started talking about my hoo-ha. Hello.
It was Jamie's hoo-ha that all caused right. the feed
it
to go
It got started
down.
On your but ass.
Here's.
Hold on, I gotta pour myself another shot.
Oh, you're gonna have another shot?
Okay. I'm from New York. We get drunk.
It's not fair. I want another one.
I have a double shot here of Patron
Rob,
ready to start this
off. Can I sleep
on
your couch?
I gotta get up at 6:30. That's the only thing I'm saying. Although Alan will be here later, so I guess.
No, I can't.
Okay, good. She's being responsible. All right.
Fuck that.
Here we go. Heads
bed.
Up. Happy 11 years. Woo!
Yay!
All right. And 1, 2, 3.
Oh, we forgot the vine it.
Oh, Rob is so funny. He's just doing the
He's
complete...
He's dying right now.
Oh, my God.
It's
Rob
smooth.
Has to run around the room.
Even burn.
I know, but it's that warmth is so freaky to me.
Rob has to run around the room and do flappy hands.
I'm trying to contain it to my chair right now. I'm fine. What were we talking about during the commercial? I want to talk about on air. Oh, we were talking
Your
about...
butt.
No, we were not talking about... Why were we talking about my butt on break, Dark Sakura? Stop being a potty mouth. All right.
I don't know. I wasn't here. I was in the bathroom.
We were talking about restaurants that you can't eat back east, right? So earlier, before the show, we had to go get food. We went to Jack in the Box, which you don't have Jack in the Box back east?
No, not at least not in New York. I don't know about like down south on the East Coast, but in New York, there's no Jack in the Box.
In my experience in the South, there was one Jack in the Box. It was in my birth town of Dothan, Alabama, and it got closed for food poisoning.
And what were you excited about to find at Jack in the Box?
Breakfast all day.
It's pretty amazing. I do like Jack in the Box. They have a diverse menu.
You know what they don't have out here?
Huh.
Hardee's. And Carl's Jr. is not the same.
It sort of is, though.
No, not really.
All right. Well,
you cannot get buttermilk biscuits at our fried chicken.
Dunkin' Donuts is what I want out here. We don't have Dunkin' Donuts
I want Waffle
here.
House.
You can have Dunkin' Donuts. I'll take back Jack in the Box.
I like Jack in the Box, though. You can have
it. Deep fry their tacos.
I think In-N-Out is a little bit overrated, so you can have In-N-Out.
I'll gladly take In-N-Out.
I want Waffle House.
And I'm just noticing it's taken, what, part B for us to start talking about food?
And. You know what else I want from back east?
Because we talked about liquor in part A, and then you know what?
I want Crystals.
Huh?
Because of the corn pops.
I don't even know what that is.
Crystals is kind of like White Castle-sized hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
They're really teeny. You get like, you know, 4 for something. But you can also get corn. These little tiny corn dogs that are called corn pops. And they're so good. I don't know why.
Doesn't A&W have those little corn pops? I think they do.
I don't know. I haven't been to A&W in forever. But yeah.
Well, they're all A&W KFCs now. They're all hybrid.
You know what made me super happy? And it's a totally Southern thing, but going to a gas station and getting fried chicken liver.
In my time back east, when I think of gas stations, I think of Wawa. That's a gas. Well, the convenience store, huge convenience stores anyway. But anyway, I guess that's for another night. We got to get back into video games. This is already a long show. Internet problems aside. So rapid fire news time. Loki.
Fez is not coming to the Xbox because apparently they don't like the lack of indie support. Also, basically saying, you know, they're not sure if they're going to come to the PlayStation 4, although it's tempting. It's still too early to tell how everything's going to unfold, but their hearts definitely seems to be in the right place. Whether or not I would would develop for it comes down to how the PlayStation platform or how the platform holder treats me. With Microsoft, they made it painfully clear they don't want my ilk on their platform. I can't even self-publish there, whereas PS4, I can. That's simple. Or it's that simple. Microsoft won't let me develop for their console, but Sony will. So I guess we just won't see Fez 2 on the Xbox One unless they completely change their platform. And that's unfortunately a lot of the things I've been hearing, although I'm wondering if they're going to flip that around too come, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, this whole indie rabble is not looking good for Microsoft, but yeah, who knows. Drunami in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, the guy behind Fez is a goddamn twat, though. Fuck him.
To be fair, yes. That's true. Xbox Live Gold. Remember they're giving away those free games? There's a whole bunch of asterisks to that, though. The free games, yes, they are being put out. However, you have to download them within the 2-week time frame, I believe. At least that's the way with Fable 3. You have to download it by July. Otherwise, you can't download it anymore. And now there's going to be new games coming out the 1st and 16th of each month, with next month being Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2. And I'm wondering if that's going to still be the same as it was with Fable 3, where you have to download it within those first 2 weeks that it's available. Otherwise, you can't download it again. Someone was saying that it might not be that way, but I think it's going to be that way. It's kind of a lame, I guess, way to get you to subscribe to Live if you're not already doing that. I mean, I am, so I guess I'll download those free games. I downloaded Halo 3 just for the fuck of it. Halo 3 I already own. I guess I'll download it. Assassin's Creed 2 I don't give a shit about, so we'll see. Although Crackdown would be pretty awesome to have in there. That's old enough, I would say. And I can't find my disc for it anymore, so I'd love to, you know, have one of those. Or
I liked Crackdown. Yeah.
Crackdown was fun.
Remember, most people were just buying it for the Halo 3 preview, but it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, I dig it.
Crackdown was more fun when you just, like, add those codes where, like, you just randomly spawn anything, and you're like, ah, I'm just spawning cars off a roof of a building.
Yeah, that's like, the stuff Loki lives for, though, is the whole, like, you know, like, the hilarious things. Like,
Keys to the City mode was awesome.
I didn't play story mode in Crackdown. I just wanted to blow shit up and drop cars off the top of
buildings.
That's
like Grand Theft Auto. Like, the story in Grand Theft Auto, who gives a shit?
It's really good, though. Speaking of which, have you played Grand Theft Auto 4 yet? Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
That's what I thought.
No. I haven't.
Have you finished Saints Row the Third, at least?
No, I haven't finished it, but I have at least played a good chunk of that. Okay. That game's hilarious. The funniest. I haven't laughed my ass off that hard.
For just
a
moment, you sounded like Greg Proops.
Okay. Are you sure you're not drunk?
No, your voice had that sort of quality that was Proops-like.
All right, I'm not sure I take. Did you do your third story?
No, I haven't gotten a chance to do that yet.
Sorry, go ahead.
And then finally, this is pretty awesome. They are doing a free DLC update for Surgeon Simulator 2013 that, of course, is going to add in Team Fortress 2 stuff. So you get to play as the doctor there, and also you get to work, or the medic, and you get to work on the heavy. And that's awesome. So. Surgeon Simulator 2013.
Can you work on Sandwich?
You should actually just pick that up anyways, because it's awesome. So,
all right, on the Xbox 360, there is now a Best of Disney app. And no, that doesn't mean, like, you know, their games like Kinect Adventure Disney or whatever that thing was called. But trailers, clips, and animated shorts. Oh, I hope they have that short that they had before Wreck-It Ralph with the paper planes. That was so good.
Paper Man.
Thank you, Paper Man. Anyway, all that is available on the Best of Disney app. It's a free download for Gold subscribers. There's content from Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Walt Disney Studios. I imagine the trailers and the little stuff is free. Some of the other stuff, less free. Xbox One and Google and Bing. A hilarious little meme going around right now where folks, you know that predictive searching? I'm sure you've all
this
played
this. This
is
going around Tumblr for...
Hey, if you go to Google and do a predictive search, you type Orange Lounge, it comes right out. Orange Lounge Radio is right there in the predictive search, which is pretty awesome.
We're awesome.
And I think we've talked about this before. I think it's still the case. If you go and you type Orange Lounge Radio, predictive search brings up Orange Lounge Radio Marissa, who isn't even a host of the show. But she's infamous, so there you go. But she's great, and I'm totally okay with that.
I totally miss Marissa.
I do, too. God, I was just in L.A., too, and I didn't have a chance to see her. But anyway, predictive searching on Google, if you search for the Xbox One is, it will come up and say terrible, ugly, a joke. But you go to Bing, and it says the Xbox One is amazing. Well, some people took this one step further and started searching for things like Android and things like that. And it's kind of interesting. Like, on Google, it does something very similar. So who knows what it is? I'm actually looking right now to see if the same thing happens. Oh, yeah. If I type the Xbox One is on Google, there it is. Terrible, ugly, a joke. You know, in my mind, how many people are really using Bing? You're probably...
Everybody says Microsoft.
You're probably a little bit of a Microsoft fanboy to begin with
if you're even using Bing. I used Bing for about 10 minutes when they were giving away free Live cards, or Xbox Point cards. And then I got like two $20 cards for Xbox Live, and then I stopped using Bing forever.
They are still technically doing that. You just have to search on their... You know, make it a point to make some erroneous searches every day, and then you can save up to... get like $5 worth of Xbox Live points. It just takes you about a month.
So whatever, predictive searches, hilarious. Lastly, on PlayStation 4, if you're a fan of DC Universe Online or PlanetSide 2, you may be worried, am I going to have to get PlayStation Plus because now that's going to be required to do multiplayer? Am I going to need to get PlayStation Plus to play these MMOs? The answer is no. Pretty awesome. So yeah, you do not need to have PlayStation Plus if you want to play games like DC Universe Online and PlanetSide 2 Online. Very cool. PlanetSide 2, however, not cross-compatible between PC and PlayStation 4. DC Universe Online, however, will remain so. I think that's the way things are today, to be honest. So.
Except DCU was poopy.
And I believe...
We have some fans, though. I know Pod Culture's a huge fan of that. You're just... You have a hate boner for DC to begin with.
No, I don't have a hate boner for DC. I have a hate boner for bad games and bad character development.
Really?
It's a hate hoo-ha, not a hate.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Rob.
What?
If Gail Simone wrote every book that DC did, I would read it.
I thought DC Universe was fun enough, especially because it's free to play now. I see the charm in DC Universe Online. It's like Ninja Turtles arcade game, but you get to make your own hero, and you can make your hero as pretty as you want.
I didn't think it was very pretty at all. You know what?
Hate.
You know what? The first thing I did was make myself a female version of Hawkeye.
All right. Black Wolf is correcting me in chat. DC Universe Online does not play PC versus PS3. I thought it did. Huh. Well, all right. Then I'm wrong. But PS4 will work with PS3. All right. Anyhow.
And I believe that they left it up to third parties doing free-to-play games like that, that they can decide whether they want to have that behind the paywall or not. I would imagine that if you're interested in getting more people to play your game, probably not going to put that behind it. So.
Right. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura.
I was actually just about to point out in chat room that Gail Simone wrote Agent X, which was a Deadpool book. Just saying. She is awesome.
Extifer's in chat, by the way. Hey, Extifer.
Hey. Saying,
didn't mind DCU, but it's easy to forget about.
It was very easy to forget about after like playing it twice.
The flames of her hatred are burning intensely.
Flames on the side of my face. No.
All that shade.
I cannot touch the immortal Madeline Kahn.
Shade of it all.
You know, I don't even watch that show, so whatever.
You should.
Do you think I would totally dig the drag queens?
Yeah.
I love drag queens, don't get me wrong.
Well, see? Anyway.
I just hate sitting down to watch a show. Like
I love doing video game news, which occasionally happens on this show.
You know what, bite me. You're the one who brought up the shade. Rad. So anyway, Arc System Works, who brought us Guilty Gear, said that if people want to see Guilty Gear on the Wii U, then you have to sign a petition. And the petition is online, and I'm not going to link it. It runs on the Unreal 3 engine, so basically, whatever. In other news, Sega has been teasing something called Project 575. We have no idea what it is. It could be a rhythm game. It could be nothing. It could be, looks like a couple of girls. So who knows? Maybe you just spend the whole game being awesome. I don't know. And this is the sad news, Rob. I'm very, very sad.
Well, what happened?
Well, you remember how we had been covering the whole Knuckles Dawson?
Oh, yeah.
Disappearance. Well, they found him. Which, I mean, I think we pretty much knew it was a suicide issue for the fact that he canceled his accounts. And... basically up and left.
Mm-hmm.
But they found him. They're not releasing a cause of death yet. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Well, and to be fair, even saying that is a little bit jumped to conclusion, because maybe in his mental unwell state, he may have just left, maybe had a plan in mind. So we don't know. And we don't want to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Know?
But well, I'm saying that current evidence is
sure.
leading that way.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So yeah, they found his body. He's 28 years old.
That's very unfortunate.
They found his bike and helmet in Stanley Park, and then he left his wallet, computer, and phone at home.
But they found his body in the park across the bay, right?
Yeah.
So he was on the move.
He left everything behind and left.
Yeah, it's really too bad, and it's just a reminder that if you know somebody that might be reaching out for help, please try to get them help.
Don't just write it off as an attention thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But make sure that you're not okay. This is where I kind of say that's a line, because yeah, some people do want attention. Some people are looking for attention because there's a reason for it.
Right.
Make sure that you see to it that they get help. Don't contribute to the underlying cause. Mm-hmm.
I do want to call attention to this, too, because I think it's pretty neat. You know, one reason that Knuckles was very popular in the community is that he actually did one achievement a day, every day on the 360 for like 2 or 3 years. It was a significant amount of time. There's a call right now and a movement to try to get Microsoft to do an achievement in his honor. Some folks are saying even that day one achievement should have a tie into him. I think it would be great if Microsoft could do some sort of achievement in his honor, perhaps, you know, getting an achievement every day for a month or a week or something that would resonate with, you know, what he was known for in the community. I think would be a great, great thing and a great way to remember him.
Well, I'm also looking through the comments on here to see if they had any other information on here. And basically, the family's already made a Facebook page about it, releasing information. So I would say check Facebook and look for your
that,
information there.
FindKnuckles.com redirects to his Facebook, or
the Facebook his family set up in regards to the issue.
This is tragic.
But yeah.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, regardless, this was a tragedy. Absolutely.
But I do really urge people, don't take it upon yourself to be the diagnosis. Tell the person to seek a diagnosis and just be available.
All right. Well, let's shift gears here a little bit. Let's take it to the listeners with a question and a segment we do here every week called the Fugle Question of the Week. Facebook and Google, you take those words, you slam them together, you get Fugle. And the Fugle Question of the Week this week has to do with a Nintendo story. And the Nintendo story that we link to talks about how Nintendo is hiring more people to strengthen their internal development studios in the development of fan-favorite franchises as well as new intellectual properties. But the question we asked on Fugle was, which do you hope that Nintendo focuses on more in the development of games for Wii U and 3DS? Development of fan-favorite franchise games or new IPs, and why? I was looking for people to kind of pick one or the other. I'm not sure I was really clear in that question because we get a lot of answers where people are saying both. I'll go ahead and read those answers anyway. Let's start on Google Plus tonight. ActDev says, well, it's kind of obvious that they're going to try to focus on the Wii U since they truly need games for that. Don't know if they'll be totally new IPs, but they'll probably incorporate new ideas into the franchises we know and love. And while we already have a new Smash Brothers on the way, I would love to see a new Metroid using the gamepad, and of course a new F-Zero and Kirby game. Redertainment says, as has been said many times before, variety is the spice of life. If you do the same things over and over again, eventually those things get tiresome, dated, and boring. However, we are talking about a corporation here. Corporations live by one mantra, cash rules everything around me, cream. While I may want newer IPs in order to get a more diverse gaming landscape, older IPs sell better. Therefore, even though I want new IPs, old IPs are probably what I'm going to get. That's a good answer that kind of tells me what you want without that kind of keeps the real side in it. I like that answer. And I think you are right. I think a lot of these answers are right. Liam C. on Facebook says, concentrate on developing new IPs to bring in a new audience that is generally held by the Xbox, PlayStation, but also give older franchises a chance on the Wii U, like Golden Sun and F-Zero. Codeman says, I'm kind of on the fence about this. As much as I would love to see new IPs, I love remakes of such games as the Mario franchise, Smash Brothers, F-Zero, etc. I think that Nintendo should begin to focus a bit on indie developers. That's where the fans are. Well, at least me. Although the exclusive Bayonetta 2 looks fantastic. So I just don't know. Very difficult question. Yeah, that was the idea. It was a difficult question. I always mispronounce this name, and especially because I've been drinking. I'm not going to remember it now. It's Sial? Sial? I think it was Sial.
Sial?
Sial. I probably said it wrong. I'm very sorry. Says in chat, I think they should try for an equal focus on the Wii U and 3DS, maybe giving the Wii U slightly more attention due to its issue in the sales department. As for new IPs versus old, that's another. Both, I want more 2D Metroid and another Mega Man game. Nintendo slap the stupid out of Capcom real quick and get on that. However, if they make something real interesting, I will not be disappointed either. Man, how epic would a 2D Mega Man game be on the Wii U where you could have your thing to switch weapons right there on the gamepad so you never have to bring up the little window?
You don't ever have to bring it up after SNES games.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you have
the L and R triggers.
That's true. But still, think about it.
And you could keep holding a charge while you switch to your weapons.
A map or something. There's so much potential there with the Wii U. Andy R. says, new IPs. There we go. Somebody saying one or the other. New IPs. Mario and Zelda are cool and all, but I'd love to see a Nintendo mascot that wasn't created more than three console generations ago. Well, you get Steel Diver for free. That was this generation. SSG100 Matt says, we have all been waiting for Nintendo to come out with the next new IP for many years. They have flirted with some franchises, but fully expanded them to the length of Mario, Pokemon, Metroid, and Zelda. While we all still respect and love the classics, they will always be there for us in some way, shape, or form. I'm more interested in seeing the next new idea from Nintendo. The thought of something new coming to the table sounds much more exciting than just another Mario, Zelda, or Metroid rehash. I'm going to give you two huge IPs that Nintendo did last generation. In fact, I would say Nintendo's biggest IP of all time came last generation. And y'all are forgetting. Anybody?
Wii Fit.
Excitron.
Close. Wii Fit is one of the big ones.
Wii Sports.
Wii Sports.
Excitetruck.
Wii Sports was last generation.
No, the answer is Excitetruck.
Okay, fine. There's Excitetruck as well.
Excitetruck was awesome.
All right. let's see. Where was I?
Speaking of which, now that I think about it, what are those guys working on? The guys at Monster Games that have done, two racing games for Nintendo, and they're still working on another racing game that...
Hopefully not unemployment.
Maybe F-Zero?
Excite Truck U. That could only be the dream.
All right. Did I read SSJ100 Matt's answer? I did. That was the one I was on, right? I think so. Okay. Zether says, new IP. We need more of those, less of Mario and Zelda. When Nintendo experiments, sometimes the result is good. The thing they have to hear they have to have something that's going to do well. Clover Nikon says, the new talent should work on new IPs. That doesn't mean the new talent could offer a fresh take on our favorite Nintendo classics. Tiger Claw says, I would like Nintendo to work on a brand new Star Fox game, but I think they could take the game in another direction and do it no linear and more open world-ish, instead of sticking to the rail shooter it was originally. Plus, I would like to see Nintendo develop a brand new IP that doesn't involve their own characters making cameos. You know, Mario Galaxy was kind of a new IP. It's just that it had Mario, but like it didn't play like a Mario. Well, I mean, it didn't. It was a platformer. But like, it was so different. You know what I mean?
I like Super Paper Mario. I thought that was a good version of Paper Mario. And I liked it a lot better than... Like, I even went back and played Paper Mario, and
Nintendo's solution to sell new IPs is to shove Mario into it. And it really works. It really works for them in a way that...
Not so much for Wario. Remember the Wario game that they had that was fucking amazing? It was all hand-drawn. It looked like... It looked just like one of those... the Rayman games, and then it was just no one bought it because Mario.
That was Wario Land Shake It. That game was so much fun.
Yeah. Gamer Girl says, I think it would be cool if the new IPs helped work on maybe some new games. Mario and Zelda are fine, but what if they steered clear of those two icons for a while? Would it make people dislike Nintendo anymore? Here's the thing. There has to be an HD Zelda. That has to happen. Can you imagine, like... People will revolt in the streets if there's not an HD Zelda. And
it's
soon
it's time to bring back Rad Racer.
I'm with you, Gamer Girl. I think they should do some, but to deny an HD Zelda, that's too much.
We need to see the rebirth of Snake Rattle and Roll.
JVMon, that was a Nintendo game. It was Rare or... Yeah.
It was, but Nintendo needs
I may
to
get some hate, but Zelda's kind of overrated and has
get
time.
Out! No, I'm just... Actually...
People need to move on past Zelda.
Ocarina of Time is super overrated. But I have to remember that a lot of people, like, that is literally the game they grew up on. Like, went through their teenage years playing and so forth. So, like, I will always love Link to the Past the best. So when they announced that 3DS sequel, I literally did the thing, right? When they announced that sequel, because I'm so excited, because that's like my favorite Zelda. I don't get Ocarina of Time at that same level. That's certainly not when we start talking Majora's Mask and, like, yeah.
Link to the Past is the only one I can play.
However,
I did play through a crapload of Ocarina, though.
Twilight Princess was pretty fucking good. Like, that I can't deny.
I named my cat after that game.
It was pretty for a Wii game, but...
All right, anyhow. Chiggers.
Is it me, or was Midna just the best new character ever in a Zelda series?
Yeah.
There's a reason why you named a creature after her. All right.
Because she's a little imp.
Chiggers in our Facebook says, I would like to see a new Mario RPG and not Paper Mario. I think they need to bring Square Enix back to do it too. Good luck. And work on your damn online capabilities, like online Mario Party or even the aforementioned Mario RPG. I think it would be kind of cool to do a Diablo-type online Mario game. How would that even work? But I like it. And lastly, Raginator says, I want to see a mix of new IPs and fan faves. Why does it have to be one or another? Because I said so. That's the question. One or the other. That's fine. That's fine. We appreciate all the answers nonetheless. It sounds like most people are like, we need a little of column A and a little of column B. That you can't make me pick one, Rob. You just can't. And I can respect that. Those are some of the answers there at facebook.com/orangesilenceradio and our Google Plus community. Thanks to y'all for participating. Back to the news, Loki.
All right. So this is pretty awesome news. Volition is actually kind of partnered up with the guys behind the Gentleman of the Row mod. It's the Idle Ninja. And they are kind of doing this mod tool thing. They're participating on their forums now pretty actively and helping create all sorts of new mods for Saints Row the Third, Saints Row 2, and eventually going to have a full-blown mod kit for Saints Row 4. And we're talking like all sorts of stuff. And even Saints Row the Third already, you can do quite a bit. Like, I have some mods running on there where I have some handheld, like, you know, lasers and stuff like that. They're pretty sweet. I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do with this. And I mean, the way it sounds like now is with these tools, you can essentially, it's basically tools they're using to make the game. You can create new maps, new weapons, characters, missions, etc. It's going to really expand a lot of the game. So I'm already expecting to get it on PC anyway. So it makes me excited.
I know you love your mods too. So
it'll be awesome.
All right. Well, maybe you'll be able to mod this game when it comes to PC, although probably not, because it is an MMO. It's always connected, but kind of surprising. Dragon Quest X announced during a 10-hour live stream. I'm hoping that was a lot of gameplay. Yeah, it's a lot, huh? But anyway, Square Enix announced during this live stream that the Nintendo exclusive, or at least it was, it's coming to PC on September 26th in Japan. It will retail for $40, but there'll also be a deluxe version for 9,800 yen, which would be about, what, 80 bucks, that has a Dragon Quest X PC game controller, a monster encyclopedia book, a map of the world, security token, and additional in-game content. Very interesting because, you know, Dragon Quest obviously is huge in Japan, and this game was a selling point. Dragon Quest X was on Wii and Wii U. Never came here, though, and I don't understand why, but
I'm surprised Monster Hunter hasn't really come to PC.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Different company, but...
Yeah, it's just so interesting. But anyway, you can get a Dragon Quest X PC benchmark. It's available for download at nvidia.co.jp, and there's also a beta sign-up available. So, there you go. Dragon Quest X coming to PC. Nintendo losing that exclusive in Japan, but... maybe the Wii U especially didn't
still
have...
console exclusive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's still console exclusive, which is cool.
Well, Wii U, I mean... It's...
Final Fantasy XIV will be exclusive to Sony consoles. It's not going to be on Nintendo, and it's not going to be on Xbox 360 or One, so kind of a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, Darksakura.
In other news, there's a company called the Fulbright Company that has a game. I have to actually check this out, their little trailer for it called Gone Home, which is sort of, I guess it's going to go into some sort of point-and-click survival horror game where basically a girl goes home from college to find her family is completely missing, the house is empty, and she's trying to look for clues. Well, basically, the company is pulling out of their showing at Penny Arcade Expo after some comments that were made regarding some basic transphobia. This was from Mike with Penny Arcade. And lots of just really negative comments that were going out. So basically, they're saying that even though this is their biggest form of exposure that they could get for their game, they're pulling out because those type of comments and basically the nature of these people is not what they want to associate with their game and their company. So they've completely pulled out.
I honestly get the sense from this guy over at Penny Arcade is that he's not necessarily transphobic by nature. You know, that would mean that he like hates them or whatever, or but he kind of, he has...
Doesn't understand it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he kind of misunderstands how to communicate about that in public or whatever, and he's very hard-headed. And I think the big problem is how he was lashing out on Twitter. And when he said, he's made some comment like, if you use the... And I am totally paraphrasing, do not quote me on this, because I don't have his Twitter in front of me, but it was something like, if you say the word cis around me, then stop doing that, because I totally discount you at that point. Like, really... Yeah. Bold-headed, thick-headed statements like that, that like it's
there was the Dick Wolves thing,
yeah,
too.
Think before you tweet. You influence a lot of people.
My granddaddy had a fantastic phrase. It's put brain in gear before mouth in motion. Well, in this case, fingers in motion. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely an act, don't react. Take a moment and think about it.
Yeah. So... And, you know, some folks in Extrovert says they were comments that were taken out of context, but... When you influence that many people, a singular tweet like that, that can happen, you know, and you've got to really think about some of these things that you're saying, you know. And it's, again, I'm giving the guy credit. I don't think at heart he hates trans people. Like, that's not the impression I get at all.
It's it's not like Penny Arcade built its reputation on being the most PC comic there was.
The impression I get is that he's saying it's my way or the highway. And the trans community is trying to say, actually, when you say this, we consider it offensive for these reasons, you know, and it's like, it's kind of like he's not conveying that he understands that appropriately.
Yeah. It's one thing to educate someone who doesn't want to be educated. Mm-hmm. And I can understand though, whereas a company, if there's this general conception going on that this is how they feel, I can understand wanting to separate your company's image from that conception. So yeah, they were perfectly, and if they wanted to pull out of Penny Arcade Expo, whatever their reasons were, they were valid.
Did you see the follow-up, by the way? I don't know if you saw the follow-up.
No, I didn't.
He actually posted an apology yesterday, the 21st. I guess that would be 2 days ago. He actually ended up making a donation to the Trevor Project of $20,000. Now, I feel really good and really kind of at that. Like, Trevor Project's an awesome charity. I'm so glad they're getting this. But there's that part of me, I have to go here. There's that part of me that's like,
you can't throw money at the problem and expect people to forget it.
It's not so much that, but it's like, where did that money come from? Because you just told everybody you needed to do this Kickstarter to do this Penny Arcade podcast. And, you know, you set the bar at $10 and set these stretch goals at hundreds of thousands of dollars, when I can tell you it does not take that kind of money to do a podcast. And
with the money that they're bringing in from Penny Arcade?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a slippery slope, because I'm like, I can't say, oh, $20,000 to charity. What a horrible thing you did. But I'm just kind of...
It almost seems like they're trying to buy forgiveness.
Yes.
That's my top impression. Right,
this is a... Okay, let me put it this way. I think this is the best way I can put it. This is a good step, but it's not going to fix the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The problem is... Here's the reaction and the tweets. And
I can give a local example. This is what it makes me think of. Remember when the ice cream chain local Leatherby's was having the problem about them having donated their money to the Prop 8 thing? But we serve ice cream at Pride events. It's sort of almost the same thing where they're trying to put a Band-Aid over something without getting to what the actual problem was. And in this case, it's like, well, we're giving money to this, but the whole thing is that the damage has been done. It's going to take quite a bit more to turn it around, if at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like they're trying to make put a Band-Aid over it and hope people forget.
Extrafer in chat says, I don't think they feel like it'll fix the problem either, but it doesn't hurt to donate money. Shrug. And I agree. It's not, again, I'm certainly not hating on the donation, but there is that part of me that goes like, okay, well, you know, put your mouth where your money is, I guess is what I'm saying. But you know, nobody's perfect. Lord knows I've said a lot of stupid shit on this show over the past 11 years. So anyway, but the other thing I want to address, we have a lot of people in chat that are asking, what is cis? And what is cisgender? And teaching moment.
It means the gender you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your physical genitalia indicate that you are,
mm-hmm.
or your chromosomes indicate,
right.
That's what you are. You agree with what you were born with.
Now, there's certainly a reaction out there that people will go, well, I have male genitals and I'm male, but isn't that just normal?
For you, it is.
Right. And that's the point. That's where the transgender community is having this difficulty, because so many people just go, well, there's no such thing as cisgender because that's just normal. And transgender is like, well, wait a minute. Transgender is normal, too. This is a real thing.
I would say
this is how we help, you know.
Cisgender would be the majority.
Yes.
As in, you find more people biologically who mm-hmm. agree with the gender mm-hmm. that they genetically were predisposed towards, I guess. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it could be hormonal. It could be people. You also have people with multiple chromosome issues. You know, or you still have people who are born hermaphroditic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's whatever. Like, what was that story that was going, that was making the rounds about the man in China who went to have a problem, says, well, technically you're female. Because, well, he actually had multiple chromosomal issues, but they said he had female bits.
Mm-hmm.
He just thought he was small. But, you know, the whole thing, that's what his doctor told him, but the government upheld, he'd been raised male, he lived male, the government upheld, you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that type of thing, you know, whatever, and I'm not a big fan of labels in general, because I think that labels are a good way. Yeah, maybe you can embrace it to understand who you are for a degree of self-acceptance, but it's also ways that people try to categorize other people.
Queen Simeon, our chat, says that's kind of like calling white skin normal. Or
the flesh-colored crayon.
Heterosexual normal.
Well, and the big thing, and actually I love people on Tumblr for this. Mm-hmm. We're getting to see a lot more attention put on the asexuality community
mm-hmm.
for people who just have no interest in it,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, I'll go ahead.
For people who define their sexuality as none of the above.
You can be romantic, but
right.
not have.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't stop you from not, you know.
I've known several people in that category.
Exactly.
Not just one.
And you know what? I'll go ahead and say it. I'm in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like it. Don't care. I like reading about it. I think porn is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really have.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you're in a fully functional relationship.
But I'm in a functional marriage. And sometimes, you know, it makes me happy to make Dan happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to say about him. It's all me.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands that, and he's perfectly fine with that. And I have no problem admitting it to anybody. It's just not how I'm wired.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that when you get to the point where you have people that are looking at something that they don't understand, where it doesn't fit into what their concept of normal is, there's going to be a reaction to it. There's going to be people who go, oh, well, that's not normal. I don't think that way. I was raised to think that, well, it doesn't matter what you were raised to think. What matters is what is. Just because you were raised, oh my God, this actually goes back to the stupid Paula Deen thing too. Just because you were raised to think that does not mean that you are right to think that.
Let me get one more comment here, because I think this is an important one to end on. Chiggers in chat says, there's no such thing as a normal human. And totally agree. But that's kind of where the problem with, you know, Penny Arcade Guy's reaction lies, is that when he says, like, you know, if you use this term, then you're an idiot, essentially. You know, he's kind of like, you know, he's saying it's that he rejects that, and I think that's just that's the issue, you know, among other things.
I just say, you know, it doesn't matter what bits you were born with. It doesn't matter if you love someone and don't want to sleep with them. It doesn't matter if you want to sleep with them and don't love them. You know, I guess that's kind of, but it just matters that you don't be an asshole.
Don't be
an asshole.
This is a perfect comment to end on, and then we'll go to the next story, Loki. Drunami, fuck the haters. Be you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, and don't be an asshole.
All right, Loki, fuck the haters. Be you with the next story.
So, PlayStation Plus is not going to be required for the automatic updates on your PlayStation 4. Remember, it does automatic updates in the background on the PlayStation 4, and right now that's only a feature that's on PlayStation Plus. However, that's something that's going to change once the PlayStation 4 comes out, at least for the PlayStation 4. It's not going to be tied to that, so you will still be able to do those auto updates for game and system updates. And so that's kind of cool. But of course, they would like to encourage that you buy PlayStation Plus as well. But I was kind of disappointed, Zeke. I just signed up for PlayStation Plus. And I remember they had that instant game collection. I didn't realize they cycle titles out of that. So you have to kind of download them at the time in order to be able to, you know, play some of them. Like, because I wanted to do Eco and Shadow of the Colossus collection, stuff like that. But, you know, right now it's like Saints Row the Third Vanquish, which is going away. So I downloaded it anyways. And Little Big Planet Karting, which, by the way, will be this week's VOG Gaming Night title.
I have that game. Maybe I'll actually be able to play for once.
Friday night.
I was guesting on that other podcast this week. That's why I couldn't do it this week.
Well, that's all right. This week I was playing Final Fantasy 14. So
fair.
I didn't have anything. But yes, this week it will be Little Big Planet Karting on the PlayStation 3. So if you have PlayStation Plus, it's a free title. Download it and check it out. I have yet to play it, so it'll be interesting.
It'll be fun. It's fun.
It looks fun.
Yeah, you'll have fun with it. All right, moving on to this story. I find this interesting. This is about Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystaria. Now, this game just came out on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. It's remasters of the old 90s arcade games, which were awesome, by the way. But in Japan, they're getting a special PlayStation 3 retail release. Exclusive features and enhancements not in the digital version. What? I mean, this sounds great, don't get me wrong, but why... why were there two versions of this game being done, and why is the better one exclusive to Japan? Because the new one has the color edit feature. Multiple players can play as the same character. There's an in-depth series of options. You can toggle features like random damage and breakable weapons. I don't get it. Oh, well. Luckily, the PlayStation 3 is region-free, so if you feel very strongly about it, ultimately, I'll be satisfied with the digital version here. But if you feel strongly, if you really love these games, the good news is PlayStation 3 is region-free, so import it from Japan. Have a ball. Just hope you can read the Japanese text or know the game well enough to get around it. So there you go. It's that time of the week where we go to the mailbag and read some of your emails. Are you good to do that tonight?
I'll be okay. There's only four.
Oh my God, there were only two earlier. Okay, let's go to the mailbag.
Well, if there were other, they were Russian or Mandarin, which
we have a huge influx.
I know a word in Russian, da.
Just to throw it out there, our mailbag is still mailbag@orangeloungeradio.com. However, I'm strongly contemplating changing that in the coming weeks, if for nothing else than to flush out the spam, because we're getting too much of it.
I actually would recommend that we switch it through a Google account.
Unfortunately, you have to pay for those now for business accounts.
No.
Yes, you do.
Well, what about the redirects?
I don't know. I will look into that.
Because I really like Google's filters.
Yeah, I know. I know.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about. You have to pay for that now, unfortunately. But we will talk about that offline.
I have a dollar.
For now, continue using mailbag@orangelaundry.com. We will flood the Twitter and all that
brownies,
stuff
please,
when we
way.
Change. All right.
Okay. Dear OLR. I'm sorry I couldn't get through last week as I was eager to discuss my own thoughts on E3 with you. With Next Generation officially across the horizon, I find myself reminiscing about my own journey with gaming. I discovered the arcades in the late 70s and immediately fell in love with video games. I mooched off friends that owned 2600s before Christmas. My father bought us an Atari 5200. I got two of those. They're awesome. I love that thing, terrible controllers and all. Yes, thank you. The controllers on the 5200 are ass. Dan just rebuilt two controllers so that we could go to Atari Party. Okay. My software career began as a game tester for Sega, testing games like Dark Wizard on Sega CD and Aladdin for Game Gear. I even owned my own retail store when I rented out import games and met a lot of local developers from Namco, Capcom, and EA. I have since left the gaming industry but have remained dedicated to the community at large. I have probably owned nearly every major console and portable in the last 20 years. Sorry for being sniffy. I find myself in a strange position these days. I've pre-ordered both the PS4 and the much maligned Xbox One. Rob remains one of my two friends on the Wii U, by the way. Ha ha. You guys have described coming to E3 as if it was a death march, and I guess that I really didn't perceive it as such. I won't go so far as to say that I agree with every policy that's being introduced, but I'm not frightened either. I wonder if the core gaming community is simply intimidated by what this change might mean. This is, after all, the final transition into a digital delivery-only reality. Of course, since then, they've kind of backpedaled.
Black Wolf in chat is asking, so can this guy fix my Neo Geo? Maybe.
Bobby, I'm still checking some of my resources. Trust me.
Oh, well, if this guy, who emailed this?
Dark Charger.
If Dark Charger's listening and you can fix Neo Geos, please let us know.
Yeah, and if you can mod my Neo Geo, I'm just kidding.
We're going to bring you business, buddy.
Did I tell you how we got a Neo Geo? Dan traded his Sega CD for it. That's how we have a Neo Geo. where was I? Still, I look at all the amazing games at E3, and I couldn't imagine myself not being part of that. The 6-year-old in me that walked into that first arcade still finds excitement at how gaming is getting better and, frankly, cheaper. The Xbox One makes sense for me as a primary console because I actually am really looking forward to the multimedia features. I want an all-in-one solution for games, IPTV, etc. And my relatives are all excited that I will be sharing my gaming library with them because they know I buy a ton of games. For them, this opens up gaming in ways not previously available, especially those that live out of the immediate area. I'm still getting the PS4 for the exclusives, J imports, and indie games. Amidst all the excitement, I find myself... excitement. I find myself a bit sad that I no longer quite fit in the same way with the core gaming community that I identified with for so long. Perhaps the years of my own career as a non-gaming software developer have skewed that perception is what he meant, especially since I know how little game developers actually make. I often find myself these days castigated on forums for my views despite my lifelong dedication to this hobby. I am glad at least that every gamer indeed has a voice here. Your friendly neighborhood gaming pariah, Dark Charger.
You know, there's a lot of passionate opinions right now. Don't let Twitter and Facebook and the things that people say when there's nobody around there to immediately like yell at them for what they're saying. Don't take that with too much weight. Like, you know, yeah, I was pretty miserable going into this year's E3. And I understand where people were excited about pushing things forward and some of these new ideas that Microsoft was going to bring to the table, although it was a big nebula, we didn't really know. But I don't think that means like doom and gloom that they didn't go that way either. I think it just says that, you know, $60 is a lot to pay for a game and people want control over, you know, what they do when they're done with that game. So, by the time these consoles come out, I think you'll hear a lot more about the games themselves because people will be actually playing them, and this will get a lot better.
Well, there's a PS on this. This is PS, if you have never done it, please do a classic game of the week on Treasure's Yu Yu Hakusho for Mega Drive. That was a good game. But now, though, I'm really sad because, like, my favorite song from that series just popped into my head, Sayonara Bye Bye. Mm. I did watch quite a bit of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Sounds like it could be a classic game soon.
Well, don't let me forget about it. That was a good game. All right. Hello, OLR Radio. That's kind of a redundant R. I love the crew.
Hello, ATM machine.
Hello, PIN number. To all gamers, can't we all just get along? Please, go and pre-order an Xbox One. We can't let a little negativity take us out of the game. Show Microsoft that we are there through thick and thin. Let's face it, $900 for both consoles ain't bad. Dude, you know what? That's almost a month of rent.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but...
what is yes. not bad? Whatever your income is, I want it.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Tell your daddy to adopt me.
Well, yeah. or you know, to give this guy a little credit, if it's $900 spread across a year, and I can buy one console this year and one console next year, that's far more reasonable, and probably what I will do.
Okay.
one
JV
last.
You could also like do like on a payment. I can't speak. I'm
a payment plan.
Tequila finally caught up with me.
Or
are
a,
you dunk?
Or
I'm
a,
dunk.
A responsible credit card use.
Responsible credit card. Like I pre-ordered the Xbox One on my Best Buy credit card, and it's like no interest for 18 months. So I'm gonna be paying that off over the 18 months, so I don't get hammered with the interest by then.
I'll tell you what happened when we got our PS3, right? Because we bought the top model one and controllers and everything. But we used our Discover card. We got a $100 rebate back on it.
That's right. They Discover does cash back, right?
It's like for every some amount you spend, you get a percentage back. And in this case, too, because Dan also was a GameStop manager, he got a discount on hardware and the games. So we actually ended up getting it for cheaper than the lower model. I miss those days. Anyway, where was I? One last thing. No need to upgrade those PCs anymore. The consoles have high-end PC specs on a unified platform, which will allow the devs to create high-end PC games for those consoles. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, except I can't use Photoshop on my Xbox. So, wrong.
Yet.
No. I cannot effectively use Photoshop.
What if they hack it?
Not true, actually. They're probably going to... The next iteration of Photoshop is actually going to be in the cloud, and so...
Like I said, effectively use it.
Keyboard and mouse
keyboard
support?
Mouse, yeah.
Think about, though, you
they,
could...
The whole thing that
using
they
a higher-end monitor?
You could get...
It supports 4K output.
You could get a really good level of precision, possibly. I mean, I just...
But humor, I can't use a controller.
Humor the thought.
And besides that, I like having my window open while I am looking at my Tumblr and chatting with Becky and playing with Kat and, you know...
And wondering why you never got your project done.
Do you know what I had to draw the other day?
What?
A turkey drinking beer.
Random.
It was awesome. And here I am, high on Robitussin, drawing
why?
A turkey drinking beer. It's for charity.
Oh.
Which, by the way, thank you, Matt, so much for Grandpa Matt. So, oh. But yeah, I think what you're... sort of forgetting.
Did somebody literally hire you after all your demands?
No, it's I'm doing pro bono work.
Okay, well, you know,
it goes in my portfolio. I'm not you know, knocking.
Charity is good.
It's good. And I'm not knocking anything that's going to.
You've done great stuff for Umlaut too, so it's all charity. So
I'm not going to knock anything, especially that's going to feed the homeless. And as soon as I get the okay about this, I will say something on the show.
Okay.
But at any rate, you've got a lot more versatility with a PC. I'm just putting it there. Multitasking on a PC, far easier. You know, I think the game system should be dedicated towards only the entertainment purposes. And for the record, I can play Star Trek Online and watch episodes of Supernatural at the same time, so shut up.
Now, I wasn't really hearing enough of the why in that email. I was hearing you should support Microsoft because you're a gamer. But why?
I'm supporting Sony
I?
Because I'm a gamer.
Then Microsoft should support me too. And those old policies, I think they supported corporate interests. They didn't support me. Call me whatever name you want in the book. I just believe that when you invest $60 in the game, it should be up to you what you do with that game when you're done with it, and not Microsoft.
Well, and here's the other thing too. As an adult consumer, I sat and looked at them even after Microsoft did their backpedal. And looked at them side by side and said, what is going to be the better use of my money? What's going to give me more of what I want and less of what I don't?
But I respect your opinion, emailer. And I think we will hear more about this. And I don't think we'll really have the answer to this whole console war until we know more about what this is going to look like day one. Because we still don't know what day these are coming out. We don't know what games are making launch. There's still a lot of nebulous on both sides.
And in the end, I'm grown up. I do what I want. Okay. A guy got logged out of chat, too. Hey, OLR, before we get... Oh, God, this one's long.
That's what she said. Or he.
The stare she gave Rob.
Rob got the ADS. Hey, OLR. Hey. Before getting into the meat of this letter, I'd like to send my condolences to the family, friends, and associates of David Knuckles Dawson Dreger for their loss. The loss of a person that meant so much to so many people is saddening and helps to put things in perspective. All the anger and hate on both sides of the Xbox One debate seems to be meaningless in times like this. While it never truly gets better, the pain eases with time, especially if you hold on to the memories of who that person was. With that said, it's time to get to the point. With the Xbox One's draconian DRM policies being reversed, there are many people, including Bobby Blackwolf and Cliff Bleszinski, who are looking at the consumer's victory as a horrible loss of innovation.
I already know how this email is signed. But go on.
Yeah. I'm going to read it. Every gamer has
every
a voice.
Every gamer has a voice.
Bobby was particularly sarcastic, bordering on spiteful earlier tonight. God, why don't you send Bobby this letter, not us?
Keep going.
These people have gotten on my damn nerves and have gotten to the point where I can barely stand to see or hear their exclusive ravings. The narrative they seem to be sticking to is we're blocking, quote, progress and imperiling the industry. My anger towards this is for one simple reason. I do not oppose the existence of digital distribution. Well, I don't use DRM. God, stop. While I don't use DRM-based services like Steam, I don't even oppose their existence. I understand that lots of people like Steam, and that's fine. It just isn't for me. However, the Xbox One was designed in such a way to take away the choice of the traditional disc-based games. People like myself, who enjoy a more flexible model of physical distribution, were upset because we didn't want it taken away. We didn't want to take away digital for those of you who prefer that, but the way Bobby Blackwolf, Shadow Next Gen, and the like go on... Oh, God, I'm sorry... You think we're all some rabid Luddites in mud huts trying our best to destroy
okay.
any progress at all costs.
No.
When I saw the rest of it.
Where was that? Okay, look. I respect...
This is a reaction, not an action.
I respect your passionate opinion. However, I'm losing respect for this email and the way you're lashing out. Because, come on. Bobby didn't say that. In that way, and this whole thing with mud huts and stuff. Come on. I get your point. Like, I understand the whole, like, I feel like consumers are trying to take away what's rightfully mine and all this stuff. Like, I get that. But I also understand why Bobby was like, but there's new ideas we're not going to get to see because the internet got what they wanted. But nowhere in that did I necessarily hear that he thought that that was like a bad thing or a horrible thing or gamers are doomed or that's, you know, or whatever. Like,
can I interject?
Yeah, of course.
Shadow Next Gen. I made the email awesome. High fives, Black Wolf. Oh, God.
Bobby in chat is responding right now saying, I'm happy we can get back to talking about the games. And I think that's a good way to put it.
I'm trying to see if there's anything...
I just, like, the Cliffy B thing, I'm okay with you dragging him a little bit, because Cliffy B can be a little bit bullheaded with his opinions. But my point is that these other guys you're calling out in your email, they're not so bullheaded. Like, you know, but they do have some different opinions. Yes, they are supporting Microsoft because they think a little differently about this stuff. And I don't think that makes them anti-consumer or
okay,
anti-anything.
Rob,
they're just different.
What I was reading further into this email is that I think that, I'll go ahead and say it, Ross Steele UT,
mm-hmm.
is under the impression that there is a backlash against people who prefer the traditional method of distribution, saying that because of people like you, we can't have this. We are being made to suffer because you have, in our opinion, an antiquated point of view.
Oh, and I did see some of that on Twitter this week.
Yes.
Not from the individuals you named, however.
And he is trying to say, no, I don't care about digital distribution. I don't like to be limited to digital distribution.
I agree with you. I think there should be both.
I think that they can have both methods.
Mm-hmm.
They can have their online model. They can have a disc-based model. Make the online model cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Make you know, if you're going to have pay for physical materials, then pay for physical materials and the cost of shipping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want it physical, deal with it physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I buy PC games in equal measure, digital and physical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when I went on my rampage to find Mass Effect 3 before I found out how bad it was, not bad. It's fun to play. It's just story-wise. Okay. I got Best Buy to knock down the price, and I got a physical copy because I got the better deal for it, and I have to pay shipping. So by the same token, you know, if it had been $20, you know, on sale on Steam or something, which it wouldn't have been on Steam, but that's just my point, I would have bought it on Steam in a heartbeat. I would have bought whatever one suited my financial purposes better.
Let me say exactly what Bobby was saying in a different way now that we've got that out there. And I'm saying that I agree with you that we should also have the disc-based game and the digital game. And Bobby, I'm going to do my best to sum up what you were saying. As far as the digital distribution goes, Steam is really the king of that right now. And if Microsoft had been able to go down that route, Steam would have had a little bit of competition. And that competition would have been healthy for the industry. But because the consumer spoke up and said, we want our discs and we want it this way, we will never know what digital 2.0, for lack of a better term, will look like. I don't think Bobby feels, or even Shadow Next Gen feels, that that's somebody's fault or it's because of whining or something like that. But it goes without saying, we're not going to know what that future of digital looks like right now because we just weren't ready for it. However, my perspective is, why can't we just have both? And I think that's what Microsoft should work on next.
And chat room, I would encourage you not to basically talk shit about Ross Tillyou behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
That is immature, mm-hmm. unnecessary. You can talk about his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can disagree with the points that he's made, but don't dismiss somebody's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a valid point from mm-hmm. his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
although I think
it's short-sighted. Mm-hmm. I will go ahead and read his last paragraph.
Go ahead.
As to the Xbox One now, I'm still not getting it because of the camera, where he and I are in the same boat there. I'm not afraid of the potential for spying, as it can be used offline. However, that Microsoft has the balls to ask me to pay $100 more for a console they've already admitted is weaker than the PS4. Not only that, but the PS4 will likely have more exclusive when all is said and done, when MS drops the Kinect and the price to go with it. Between the PS4 and the Wii U, I have more than enough gaming to go for the next 6 to 8 years without Microsoft. Anyway, thanks for reading. Hope you all have a good day. Regards, Ross Tillyou. And like I said, I think that what I'm seeing going on is a bit of hard-headedness on multiple sides.
Right.
I think that he's got a misperception of what, you know, Bobby and everybody's saying. And I think at the same time, maybe there's a bit of a misperception of where he's coming from.
Right.
So I think people just need to sit down, drop the attitude, and talk.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I need to say this in defense of my friend and my associate, Bobby Blackwolf. You don't know the half of what Bobby's been dealing with this week. And mm-hmm. Bobby puts on the show that he does, you know, out of love for the gaming industry.
Totally.
And Bobby does not deserve some of what you gave him tonight. Play nice.
Yeah.
Celebrate the different opinions. Come, you know, talk respectfully amongst each other and try to learn from each other. Don't throw fits and walk off.
I would have stopped reading where I did regardless if you hadn't called it. Mm-hmm. But I did think, though, he brought up the valid point with the last paragraph. Just saying.
No, I agree
with that, too.
They all have valid points. Where every gamer has a voice. Exactly. You have a valid point. And you have a valid point. And you have a valid point.
You know, and this is my big thing again. I really hate when people try to single other people out as, and you know, he was accusing in his letter, I didn't go too far into that part, but he was accusing him and people like him of being turned into scapegoats. I think you're sort of doing the same thing. So
that's my point exactly.
You need to, I think, and this actually goes with any issue, anything that people have big disagreements on, whether it be social, political, religious, video games, shit that does not matter, shit that does matter. Respect that people are going to be out there that think differently from you and make your approach to where you were trying to understand them. With anything, you don't know what you're talking about until you've, you know, walked in the other person's shoes.
For the record, though, Cliffy B never has a valid point.
No, he doesn't. So, how about the last email?
I just want to make sure that was clear.
Dear OLR, disclaimer, please excuse any and all grammatical errors. I guess for you, I could do it, lady. First off, I'd like to say you guys do an amazing job. Love the show as always. This week makes 10 years since my father passed away. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget how the show was there for me in my time of need. You guys were always there for others, and I love that about the show. I just wanted to say thanks for everything, you guys. Dark Tetsuya had the pleasure of staying with me for about 4 weeks. I'm enjoying every moment of it. If it weren't for you guys in the show, I don't think we would have even met. Thanks again, you guys. Sincerely, Gamer Girl. This is Michelle. And she and I have had a few talks in our time over many things, and she hasn't had an easy time of some things. So I'm glad that we could be there for you. I'm glad that you've become friends of ours, and I'm certainly glad that you and DT have found the happy hookup.
Which is so, like, I don't want to say weird because that makes it a negative. It's a happy weird. It's a good weird. Like me, a good weird.
Unexpected.
It's weird in the good way to me, like, the impact that this show has had on that level. Where, like, people's lives, yo, have been affected by this.
It's uncanny.
So.
How's that, Rob? Uncanny.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
There are no cans here.
It's amazing. I mean, in a way. I mean, I knew Alan on LiveJournal for mm-hmm. years, but it wasn't really until he started listening to this show that he, like, started to get to know me better, and now we live in sin.
I'm glad you're adopting that. We were talking about that before the show, that it when Prop 8's overturned.
We hope.
Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well,
it's only a matter of time.
Even if it's not the Supreme Court that does it, it'll just go back to a vote, and it'll get overturned then.
But I was saying that instead of answering the when are you going to get married, you should say, we're going to live in sin.
The thing I dread most when Prop 8 gets overturned is that I'm just going to get that nod. So when are you and Alan going to get married? When are you and Alan going to get married? And it's like, when we're damn good and ready. But Jamie said I should answer that question. We enjoy living in sin.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was actually going to say, you know, I think when people start sort of discounting the whole internet thing, keep in mind, I met my husband online, okay? Dan and I were two dumb young 20 anime nerds that liked playing Street Fighter and talking about the Japanese versions of Marvel superheroes. And... you know, he liked pinball, and I thought pinball was cool. And then just we talked it out. And 6 months after we started talking on the phone, I was like, hey, I'm about to lose my job. Can I come live with you? I guess. I'm going to go see Batman, which is pretty much how that conversation went. And I was on the plane, you know, a month later. I met Dan when his username was Dark Ryoga, and I was Dark Uchan. How's that?
Blah.
I actually had Dark Uchan before I had Dark Sakura, just saying. So Ranma calls me by my oldest nickname. So how, you know, you met Alan online, although didn't mm-hmm. you have a previous sort of meeting?
No, we knew each other on LiveJournal. Alan and I knew each other on the website LiveJournal, which I realize some of you don't even know. But we were just friends on there. I don't even remember how we got friended. Alan! He has to be hearing this. Alan!
Excuse me.
Does he have headphones
on? It's a night of honesty.
Oh, here he is. Alan, since we're all drunk, we're having real talk. How did we meet on LiveJournal? Like, how did we become friends on LiveJournal? Because I honest to God can't remember.
It was through comments of either Slagkick's journal or Spike's journal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So our friends over at GameBuoy.org.
Yeah.
And one of us saw I think you friended me through the comments there, and we got to know each other for a few years that way. But, like, you were my friend on LiveJournal through the whole ex who shall not be named Voldemort relationship, Republican Voldemort relationship.
I knew exactly who you were talking about.
I had. It's like you knew me then, but and you kind of saw all that play out. But then we did.
Hey, he gave me a sparkly pin.
We didn't meet until we met at Video Games Live in Oakland, right?
That barely counts because we shook hands and then the lights went down to say that the show was starting. So, but yeah, we got to look at each other then.
And then when did you started listening to OLR, and then that's when we started talking more, and right?
Yeah.
So this show, Ruining Lives.
By the way,
them together.
They're asking if RuPaul would be the Reverend, and I said no, Peaches Christ.
No.
Since Jamie said RuPaul, do you know that Raven and Jujubee are playing a Badlands tonight?
Yes, I'm aware. So I just want you all to know I'm skipping drag queens to be here for the 11th birthday. That's how much I love you all.
They're amazing.
Who, the drag queens or the listeners?
Everybody. <Yes. laughs>
What a safe answer.
I love him. All right.
So yeah, anyone who ever wants to poo-poo on the internet, say, fuck you. People get married on the internet or together, or they get togethered on the internet. Joined. That's mm-hmm. good. We're joined.
Mm-hmm. Living in sin.
I lived in sin with Dan for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally just said, fuck it.
Nothing wrong with a little sin.
Yeah.
All right.
I like sin.
Are we?
It tastes like tequila.
It's 9:30, and we need to keep the show moving. So let's get to the FU's. Oh, mailbag@orangelaunchradio.com if you want to send us an email.
That's it. I'm not reading any more.
That was it, though, wasn't it?
That's pretty much it.
All right. mailbag@orangelaunchradio.com. In the meanwhile, FU's of the week. Let's try to make them quick.
I would say F you to the collision detection on JVMon's body for hitting his tattoo. And the stupid bitch face, and I'm saying bitch face because I don't know who the fuck it was, but whatever. Okay, people, I don't know if it's a California thing or what, but when people change lanes and they're on the inside lane, you're supposed to stay in the inside lane. When you are on the outside part of the turning lane, you're supposed to go into the second lane, not the third. Well, Bitchface decides to go from the inside lane into the second lane where I was legally, because you're not supposed to change lanes in a fucking intersection. Fuck. Okay.
Care to follow that, JVMon?
Fuck.
FU to myself because the tequila's just hitting me now, and I forgot the FU that I had to plan.
Sure, you're going to be able to drive? All right.
Maybe.
Yeah, we better talk later. All right. Loki.
Fuck you, the pointers.
Oh, you and your programming. And my FU of the week goes to having to get up at 6:30 tomorrow for the job. But I love my job, but I don't like getting up early for it. That's all. All right. Just a couple quick stories for you guys. We got to get to the Skype line. Loki.
Real quick. There was an opinion piece on Polygon, and I just thought it kind of brought up an interesting point. They're talking about Microsoft and Sony and kind of Microsoft backpedaling in their DRM focus and stuff like that. And they're saying that while this is a good thing right now, there is a very good chance that they're going to introduce some fun features like, you know, the game sharing and stuff to kind of draw people more to digital where they're going to implement this DRM. So that basically, that very well, now we have a good situation where, you know, you have the consumer feels like it has a lot of power, that this could very well change over time to kind of be back to where they wanted it to be in the first place. So I don't know if that's going to actually happen. I think a lot of people would be kind of, you know, hesitant. But I mean, if they make, once again, it's all about how they explain, you know, how they're going to do things. If they have a good way of explaining it and basically it makes it well worth it as far as the incentives to going this route, then by all means, I mean, I guess they could try doing that. You know, if there's enough pluses to it versus the negatives, that's just, you kind of have to weigh it. So, yeah, I don't think that they're going to go back like that. But I do think that they may bring back some of the features that they took away from the Xbox One, you know, maybe the game sharing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although if it was what, it, you know, the rumored be, you know, from that Pastebin or whatever, and it was just a demo, that's kind of lame anyways. I mean, they do that with PlayStation Plus where you get demos for a bunch of games.
All I'm going to say, the simplest way I can put it, what are the positives to outweigh the negatives?
Exactly.
Explain that better. You'll get it. All right. Real quick, because I want to get to our Skype line at 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio. Real quick tonight, because we're running long due to the technical difficulties in studio earlier. And I apologize because it is an anniversary episode, so I'm sure there's a few of you that want to call in. But quickly on this story here, EA is confirming no online passes. Even in spite of the news this week, online passes will not be coming back.
Yay.
This is from Senior Director of Corporate Communications, John Riesberg for EA. Quote, there is no change to our decision to discontinue online pass. It is dead. As we said a few weeks ago, none of our new EA titles will include online pass, and we are removing it from existing games as well. Nothing else on today's news, but did want to be clear that our online pass decision was based on player feedback, and there's no change.
Long live the cloud pass.
Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, the cloud pass. Don't talk like that. All right. 1-877-GAME-OLR or our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you'd like to give us a call. And, yeah, we'll get to the phones there. Meanwhile, Twitter topics and last-minute stories.
I bet you didn't know that today, this day, is actually the 22nd birthday of Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's right. I heard we share a birthday with Sonic.
It's that 23 thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that I flew out here on the 23rd of January?
No, I didn't know that.
Years and years ago.
Well, I probably did know that, but I just forgot. So.
Jeez, Rab.
Jeez. All
Been right. out here 15 years, jeez.
Our phones are lighting up, so let's go to them and see who's on the line. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
You know, you wanted to go see Raven, but you got me instead. Raven's Dolphin.
What up, Raven's Dolphin?
Hi.
I love special. I know, now you get to see the video that the listeners
and he has ponies. I'm leaving the room.
That's exactly why I called, but let's not talk about them.
You're a brony. It's cool. All right.
I didn't say that.
I don't know. All right. That's not true. Wait, I see two big dolls, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4 little ones, and two little, what are those, hamsters? I can't tell. It's fuzzy.
I would forgive you if you had a classic one up there.
I promise you, there won't be any talk about that.
All right, okay. Fair enough. Well, Raven's Dolphin, I love special episodes because it's the only time you ever call in anymore. So what's on your mind, buddy?
You make it sound like Raven just always shows up to special events. I listen. Right. I listen to you guys.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just razzing you. What's up, buddy?
I wanted to talk about the whole DRM thing. I know everyone wants to talk about that. But
of course.
For me, being a gamer so long, is I didn't like how Microsoft tone to everything. Like when they said about the submarines, about the people like, oh, we got a box for you, the 360, or when they say all kinds of draconian shit, it makes my head just explodes. I'm like, you're drowning yourself. So their tone for me is why I bought a PlayStation 4.
How did you feel when you heard about the reversal, though, despite that tone?
I mean, I know Bobby wanted to push innovation and all that stuff, and I get that. I totally get Bobby's point. I've listened to him, you know. But the reversal, I think, was key. Like, people are like, but this is going to slow growth. But Microsoft tried to force us into what I think a future that we wasn't ready. For me, I wasn't ready for that future because I like my internet connection. I like all that stuff. But I live with a bunch of jackasses that can take it away from me in 2 seconds. So for me, it's like I have this thing that is a brick. I know your family don't have this, but my family's fucked up about the internet.
What did I say earlier in the show about diversity and everyone's life is different and it affects those opinions that we have, you know? Certainly. So
yes. So it would be a big, shiny $500 brick. Ooh. So for me, it's like the offline mode. And, you know, the online is important, but I don't want to be married to it.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Well, okay, you said you pre-ordered a PlayStation 4. So what do you look – or I'm sorry, you said you're going to get a PlayStation 4. So what are you looking forward to on PlayStation 4?
Believe it or not, I'm looking forward to absolutely none of the exclusives, Battlefield 4.
That's fair, though. It's the third-party games are important, too. So.
And I do a lot of Ustreaming stuff, so I'm like, that's why I want to get that. And I'm like, well, it's the cheapest, Battlefield 4, it's going to look great. It was a done deal.
Awesome.
The games will come.
All right, fair enough. Sounds good to me. I'll see you online, because I ordered a PlayStation 4 as well.
We have to go, but one more thing. Just one more thing.
Sure.
You're still sticking with the PS4, even with the reversal?
Yes.
good
same
man.
Same here.
No. I agree with Rob. I thought I was gonna come in here. I'm like, Rob's gonna switch.
No, why would I switch? All the games I want are on PlayStation 4 as well. There's a handful of Xbox only games, but I can address that in 2014 when they'll actually be out.
Because I know me and you, we're excited for Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct, the way it is, especially because Rare is not developing it, really just isn't enough for me. It's not $100 good.
I agree. Totally agree.
And I'm not hating on Microsoft. I mean, as I've been telling people that are like, oh, you're Sony fanboy and so forth, I'm like, hey, attention everybody. I bought Xbox 360 at launch, and I bought PlayStation 3 a year after it launched. So I'm just doing the reverse this time. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. And for me, it came down to the price, and I said, okay. Yep. This works out for me. I just had enough money. When they said $400, I went like, sold. Where's GameStop?
It's the price, and I'm going to be honest. I think Xbox One is going to be under pressure to drop that price. Maybe not holiday, but in 2014, around the time I'm looking to get one. And that's probably when I'll finally pick one up. Despite what folks may be saying otherwise about Kinect and so forth, I just kind of think the $499 price won't last forever, just like the $599 on PlayStation 3 didn't.
Nope. It dropped like a rock. Thank you for your time.
You are welcome, Ravens Dolphin. Always a delight to hear from you. You take care.
I will. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Let's get to some more calls. Our phone lines are lighting up. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Drew. How you guys doing?
Oh, my gosh. Drew, intern Drew.
And happy post-birthday to you, sir.
Happy birthday to you. 3 hours left. Your show. Well, I don't know about your show, but our show...
It's the Drew Show.
Our show and your life share the same birthday.
It's the Drew Show. Sorry, Drew. Oh,
no. So you're you're 30 now, right?
28.
Dirty 30.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. That means I was 17 when we started out.
I know. I was just thinking. That is just nuts. I remember.
Our former young Republican.
I remember when you were 18, and that blows my fucking mind. But anyway, this isn't about me.
I remember when you were legal to drink, and that was hilarious.
What did you call in about tonight?
I was just going to chime in on the whole, it's a hot topic these days, Xbox One versus PS4 thing with Microsoft doing the whole backpedal.
It's going to be the hot topic for about 4 more months until these consoles are out, so by all means, 5 more months.
Oh, jeez. I'm still not convinced. Honest. They thought they could float it past us as a thing. They thought, this is going to be the next big thing. This is going to change the future of gaming. After all, Steam is doing it. The difference is... Steam started from nothing. Steam had something going there that kind of changed the way we look at PC gaming. I don't think that console gaming is ready for this at all.
Am I correct?
They might not ever be.
Am I understanding you correctly that you're saying you reject both these consoles right now?
If I was going to go for it, I'd go for PS4.
Uh-huh.
But for practical reasons, I got a whole bunch of PS3 games in backlog right now. I only jumped on PS3 in October, so I've got a whole bunch of catch-up to do.
But if
I had to choose between the two, it'd probably be a PS4.
I think we do, okay, although it sounds like, if you were going to be getting one, you get the PlayStation 4, I think we oftentimes have been ignoring in this great debattle, or great debate plus battle equals debattle. In this great debattle that we're having about PlayStation 4 versus Xbox One, I think we oftentimes forget that there are many people, yourself included, and probably many of our chatters that are like, you know what? I'm not getting either one this year. I'm gonna just stick with the consoles I have because I got Grand Theft Auto 5 and Saints Row 4.
Was it just this week they even announced that Thief is going to be on PS3 and Xbox 360?
A lot of stuff is still coming out on the current consoles. So where's my real incentive to upgrade? Maybe I'm just not ready till 2014.
Yeah, I'm not a first-day adapter for a lot of consoles. I got burned the first time around when I got the DS Fat the first time. That had a hell of a startup game library, didn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people in your camp. There is.
I subscribe to Jamie's mantra. Game is only good as the games. System's only good as the games are honest. And for the most part, I'm not impressed by the Xbox One yet. And I'm not impressed by the PS4. Like, okay, fine. Kingdom Hearts 3. After you've had umpteen sequels, you can finally count to 3. Okay, fine. Show me more. And maybe I'll get it when it comes out, what, three years later?
So
when it has legs?
So for
meantime,
you...
I'm waiting on my pre-order for Tales of Zillion.
So for you, you want the games to be out there. You want the games to be in your hand, and then you can have a discussion about the consoles.
Yeah, well, why else would you get a console? You want the games, right?
That's a good question. All right.
I'm not impressed yet.
All right, well, Drew, I got to wrap up and let you go, but any other final thoughts for us?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride so far. Hope it keeps on going.
All right, you should come visit the show sometime. I have a nice solid table that the soundboard sits on, so you can't knock it over. We intern-proofed the studio.
I'll catch you with you guys later.
I think you'll find a way.
All right, take care, Drew. I got to let you go.
Peace.
Bye. The phone calls are always a little spotty, too. Shadow Next Gen in chat says, Rob, could it be argued that your incentive to upgrade to Next Gen disappeared with Microsoft's reversal? Just a question. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that because, I mean, especially when it comes to Microsoft, Microsoft does have some exclusive games that I want to check out at some point. They're not going to be out at launch. To be fair, PlayStation 3 is not going to have all their exclusives out at launch either, but I still feel like there'll be enough third-party stuff where I'm just going to opt for PlayStation 3 at first because, honestly, it's the cheaper option. Yeah.
There's one exclusive, actually, for Microsoft had Titanfall.
Yeah.
That, actually, this week, the news that it's multiplayer only kind of makes me don't want to buy it.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I just heard this week there's no single-player campaign.
I am less excited about that game now.
Interesting. Okay, let me get back to some more calls because our phone is ringing off the hook. There's lots of people trying to get through, so I'm hoping we can get as many calls as we can tonight. Hi, on Orange Lounge Radio, who's this?
Well, it's the one and only Ranma, and you know, we can't have a birthday celebration without the normal tradition.
Oh, you missed it.
I like your hat.
You missed it in part A,
Ranma.
Oh
my God, I need to see your hat.
But
my fellow New Yorker.
That is awesome. You've totally inspired me to make a hat.
It's not. It's a sailor. What sailor?
It's a Artemis hat.
Artemis hat.
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right.
You know, you guys had me cracking up this whole episode. Before I get into what I called in for, let me just say this: I wish we had an Arby's and a Hardee's here in New York, and I would have loved to have seen Microsoft roll out the whole way they was going to do with the games because it's really been funny. If, let's say, Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out for both systems, you go into the store, PlayStation 4 version, $59.99, Xbox One version, $39.99. Talk about a slap in the face.
That would have been a one-up in the war. I would have loved to see if game prices start changing. And that would have been the huge plus. And I think I said that in an earlier episode. If DRM policies, heck yeah, sure, bring them on if it's going to slice all my new game prices in half. But we all know that's not going to happen. For the record, Rama, I believe both companies have come out and said $59.99 is the ceiling for their game prices, outside of collector's editions and all that. So we're going to be looking at game prices similar to what we have this generation. Except now Nintendo's in that club too, because Wii U games are also $59.99. Although some, I know, buck the trend. Game and Wario today, only $39.99.
Yeah, pretty very happy.
Yeah. So anyway, Rama.
Okay, so here on my table are three different alcohols. We have the 12-year-old Glenfiddich because the 15-year-old got killed at PAX East. This nice 10-cane rum. And the alcohol that put Jove Dea and almost everybody in my room on their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritus, which is 192 proof.
Oh, my God.
So you guys get to pick which one I will do the traditional shot for.
Spiritus.
Actually, I was going to say the Glenfiddich because I'm partial to scotch.
You guys are assholes, okay?
Hey, I said Glenfiddich. It's scotch.
I gave him the choice.
Mix half and half.
Both.
No, you don't. You do not dilute Glenfiddich with anything.
Then he takes one, then the other.
Let the man take his shot. Here he goes. He's pouring it into the glass. 192 proof, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember that Fonamay he showed up for. We polished off a bottle.
Twilight Sparkle shot glass, okay?
Love it.
Good Lord.
Here's to you. Here's to me. The best of friends will ever be. If you're ever happy to disagree, well, fuck you guys, and here's to me.
Woo! Amazing. Oh. Oh.
He just had a Rob moment right there.
You pulled
it. It's not just me.
That's not as bad as Rob going running across. Rob ran in circles doing flappy hands.
I really did.
Rob,
all right.
Do you want to know how strong this is? Go find a bottle of rubbing alcohol and get a quick whiff.
All right.
Now, keep in mind, you remember what I was raised with, right? Everclear.
Rama.
So, I have an Everclear story to tell you later.
Wait, Rama.
Tell me later.
Because you're here now, I want to make sure we get this out because I forgot to do it in part A because of all the other stuff going on tonight with technical failures in 11 years. But in 7 days here at the Voice of Geeks Network, we are gearing up for something really exciting that you guys are going to be bringing to us over at Anime Jam Session. Do you want to kind of kick off the promotion for that this week, Rama?
Why, certainly. Well, next Sunday is Senshi Matsuri. It's a Sailor Moon-themed anime convention to celebrate the birthday of Usagi Tsukino, which is June 30th, and for the excitement of the new anime and the new merchandise that's coming out. What we're going to do is advertise some of the events that will be going on, such as opening and closing ceremonies, and a performance by Senshi Generation as well.
Awesome. And that is all going to be streaming here at the Voice of Geeks Network.
That's right.
So at VogNetwork.com, Anime Jam Session will be bringing us. Can you say the name one more time while I learn it?
Sure, it's Senshi Matsuri.
Senshi Matsuri will be live at the Voice Geeks Network.
That's
bright and early, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Warrior Festival.
Noon Eastern is when that all starts, 1 week from today.
And Rob, I got to admit, your Japanese has come a long way.
It really has.
It only
took 11 years.
Rob's gotten a lot better, but there's still a few things.
Never taken a class. But maybe I will for you guys for the 12 year. All right, Rama, I got to let you go so we can wrap up. But take care, buddy.
You stay fabulous.
All right, stay black. Bye.
I will.
All right. Always love hearing from Rama. I am so sorry, you guys. There's like five other people trying to get through. I've got to shut off the phones because it's almost 10 o'clock and some of us have to get home. I am home, thank God. But anyway, very much looking forward to that next Sunday. We got to wrap up. I want to do some Twitter topics quickly. I don't know if you have last-minute stories, Loki, while I bring these up.
Just that it's rumored that Sony's going to announce more games for next year at Gamescom. Hmm.
Some tweets tonight. TigerClaw305 sends us a few tweets. Miyamoto on women as characters in Nintendo games. I did see this because he talked about not just like women, but like gay characters and so forth in the games. And it did strike me as kind of like a progressive, maybe modernizing theme thing. And it talked about how like Peach wasn't really considered until kind of like Peach was a late add into this Mario game that's coming out, but it's a great thing. I'm trying to find a quote here to give here. I guess for me in particular, the structure of the gameplay always comes before story. And so we're always looking at, when we're putting that together, what is the most natural story to take place within that structure? So if we end up creating a gameplay structure where it makes sense for, whether it's a female to go rescue a male, or a gay man to rescue a lesbian woman, or a lesbian woman to rescue a gay man, we might take that approach. So he just wants it to feel natural in the games.
I want my lesbian from Animal Crossing to be a hero.
Someday.
Animal Crossing lesbian, the game.
I guess I also kind of get the sense that like maybe there's a lot of damsel in distress type stories because it's kind of the easy thing to do, and Nintendo's just more focused on the gameplay. But they, you know, Miyamoto definitely sounds like open to, you know, if it makes sense, let's do it. This is the world we live in right now. So
it sounds like he wants to make it organic and not like force it in just for the sake of having it.
Yes, which I think is the right thing to do. Yeah. Nobody wants it to feel forced.
Like, nobody wants That's a what game.
Stop.
Nobody wants a game where it's like, you know, the roles are reversed just for the sake of the roles being reversed.
Yes.
I think that was like,
the ROM hack that guy did for Donkey Kong was pretty cool. I mean, there, you know, there's exceptions, but that wasn't like an endorsed thing.
Otherwise,
you know?
You'd get like Super Princess Peach.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought that was a good story. I wish we had more time to get into that. Tiger Claw also tweeted us, the Heavy Gear Assault Kickstarter was canceled, but they're going to be doing crowdfunding on their own. Spazinator says there's a free table on the Steam version of Pinball FX2 as of a few days ago. Those of you who like free stuff, go get it. Eric RPG tweeted us, Mega Man Unlimited is done and it beams down in July. And this is a fan-made production of Mega Man. Very cool. Lots of well wishes all over Twitter for the 11-year birthday, and I just want to say a general thank you. Thank you for all the well wishes. We really couldn't do it without you guys. You guys are great.
You know what? I want a game where a woman rescues a man without becoming a romantic interest. Just saying. How many movies do you have out there with a female protagonist that ends up with some sort of romantic tanglement with the dude in the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I want Hardcore Chick the game.
Mm-hmm.
Who don't need no man to complete her life. Ain't got time for that.
Anybody got time for that?
Well, we got about enough time left to wrap up the show and get on out of here because it's almost 1 a.m. for you crazy East Coasters. Javamon, are you still on
you
East Coast
coasters.
Time? Are you still on East Coast time?
Can we put drinks on them?
I'm on tequila time right now.
One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four. All right. Let's wrap up. JVMon, thank you for being here tonight. I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time.
And you drank a little bit, so we'll make sure.
I only had like six shots.
Oh, my God.
Only six.
Yeah.
Well, then again, I only had two, and it lasted for, what, 5 minutes? It lasted for a five-minute giggle fit.
And after 5 minutes, I was like, let's go. But thank you for being here. And we
no
hope
problem.
We hope to see you for the 12th next year.
Sure.
All right. Loki, I know we kept you a little late, but thanks as always. Do you have a final thought?
Captain Rainbow for Smash Brothers.
What?
Tingle for Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Yes, Tingle for Smash Brothers. I didn't give you your actual final thought, JV Mong, please.
I'm drunk.
Woohoo! He will not be leaving this house for a while until he sobers up, people. Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
I just got reminded that I really want to play Remember Me.
Mm.
Oh my God, so did I. I didn't even realize that game came out.
I fucking want that game on Steam so much.
Check it
out.
I'm
going to get it on PS3.
My final thought is I'm just going to end as well with a thank you. Thank you all to your support over the last 11 years. Thank you to the genius here in studio that apparently fixed the broadcasting problem. So hopefully that won't be a problem in the future. We'll do that every week because we held the connection for 2 hours ever since we reconnected. So that'll answer that. But I really do want to thank all the listeners for their support over the years. And as I say every week, Orange Lounge Radio is a free program. And if you enjoy what you hear, just tell a friend or two or seven about the program and help grow our family.
And when you're done with us, tune into Mario Marathon. Last game. We've been watching them all weekend.
Ah, yeah, Mario Marathon's raising money for a good cause.
These guys really aren't very good at Mario games.
I do want to say in general, though, when you're done with Orange Lounge Radio as a podcast and you're ready to go listen to something else this week, please consider supporting other independent broadcasters. There's a lot of people out there who've worked, maybe not for 11 years, but even 1 year is something to celebrate, who work hard at what they do for free. So please continue to support the indie voice. It would mean a lot to us. Meanwhile, we'll be back to do this all again next week. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.